This is the MLW Radio Network.
Hello and welcome to a new episode of the Eastern Lariat Podcast, your show for news, notes, reviews, and opinions on the MLW Radio Network. I'm your host, Strigger. I'm back after almost 3 weeks, and of course I'm joined by my man, Dylan. How's it going?
Man, I am so excited to be back, for real. I know I'm always excited, I'm always fired up for the show, but right now, I was really missing you these last few weeks. All kinds of stuff was going on. Are you aware that I've gone over every single match in the tournament?
Every single match. Dylan does that off the air when we talk about shows. He always goes every single match. I'm glad I could do that once here.
You wanted to see one of my catchphrases, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, you are allowed to do that, but if I hear anyone else do it, I may get upset. That's just like Banished to the Shadow Realm. We need to keep that in. I mean, I kind of stole that from something else. But still, regardless, shout out to Yu-Gi-Oh! And Konami right now. But, you know, when it comes to all of the matches, you can always check them out on patreon.com/EasternLariat. All Japan, New Japan, NOAH, Stardom, even in August, dating all the way back to August, I covered the DDT and Tokyo Joshi Pro tournaments as well. So it's like you are in tournament heaven if you sign up. I don't think any other Patreon can boast that sort of lineup. And every day, too. I'm not taking days off or some bullcrap. You are cheesing you out. You get some good stuff. I've been joined by my good friend Robert McCauley on our Patreon show. So it's not even just me talking to myself like usual, like last year. And I mean, I enjoy talking to myself. I won't lie. But I think it's more interesting to listen to when it's two people. And I think the listeners of this show would agree with that as well. But now that I'm back here on Eastern Lariat, I have a question for you, Strigger.
Before we go to the question, Dylan, let me just give a shout-out to Rob, because he's been a great co-host with you on the Patreon shows. I've only had the chance to listen to the G1 shows yet, but I'll definitely catch up with the Champion Carnival and N1 coverage as well that you two did. It's great that he's there with you on the shows, because I just couldn't be there. I've put that on Twitter. It's been very rough in recent weeks to even fully concentrate on my job, so I couldn't really do anything on top of that. But Rob was there for you and with you. And also his Twitter @bmackcoolay is really recommendable, because he's a great guy and he gives out recommendations on every show that he watches. So shout out to you.
Absolutely. I love having that guy on. That was, I think, his first podcast type of appearance with me. So that was really cool. Check that out on there. But in addition to that, I do have a question for you. I think this is something you would be considered an expert in, and something lighthearted to start us off with everything going on right now. And, you know, I know things have been stressful for you, but you've been in my thoughts, Strick. I will let you know that even though you weren't there physically, your presence is always felt on
That's
any show that
great
I'm a part
of. Thank you, Dylan.
Yes, but in addition to that, I need to know, do you have, and maybe we've talked about this before, but it's been a while and I've forgotten. But I have a question for you. When you watch wrestling, do you have a favorite beer to drink? Because I've engaged in this, and I usually don't drink when I watch wrestling, but I did the first time during this whole season of tournament shows.
Oh, no, I don't, for two reasons. Usually, I watch wrestling like when these tournament shows are live and I'm able to catch them live. My drink of choice usually is coffee, because these shows are usually in the morning in Europe. And when I watch wrestling in the evening, I occasionally have a beer, yes, but since I'm a person that likes to try different flavors of beer, there's not that one beer of choice that I have. But when I watch wrestling, I from time to time like to have a beer that is called, in Germany, it's called Weizenbier.
Oh.
It would translate to wheat beer in not wheat as in marijuana, but W-H-E-A-T, so wheat.
Yeah, like how bread is made.
Yes, exactly. So it's a beer that you can really like drink very slowly, and the taste doesn't really fade away. So it's a good drink to have alongside watching wrestling or any other source of entertainment.
That's true. It's really sports and beer go hand in hand in any sort, I would say. But I'm honestly not that big of a drinker usually, to be honest with you. I'd rather just have a soda most of the time, in all honesty, or a Powerade if I just got done working out. But for whatever reason, I got the Belgian brew, the Blue Moon beer here in America. I had never had it before, and it was not bad, actually. Like I said, I'm always a little leery of these sorts of things, because, you know, there's nothing worse to me than a bad beer, you know, like, just in terms of taste. But this one was actually pretty decent. So I just wanted your opinion, because to me, you are a beer legend, like an expert in this field. So I had to go to you with it.
See, there's a story of Belgian beer that I can share on this show. And when I was in school in grade 11, I believe, we had an exchange with a school in Belgium. And when my exchange student came to Germany, he had this package of Belgian beer with him.
Okay.
And, I, of course, was in the age that I could legally drink, because in Germany, drinking beer is legal at the age of 16. Mm-hmm. And I was looking forward to, like, catch one or two of these Belgian beers. But I found out that my parents actually thought it was for them, because they were hosting my student and they had drank all the beer, and I was left with nothing.
Ah,
can you
heartbreaking
imagine?
Yeah, heartbreaking stuff right there. But shout out to all the Belgian listeners out there. Please let us know, and I would like to pose the question to the listeners of what your favorite beer is. Now that we're back, I've got a shout out to all the listeners right now that are joining us in the middle of the tournament. If you've got a favorite beer you like watching wrestling with, you know, for a lot of the listeners, especially if they're in America, you know, this is kind of like overnight stuff when you're watching Japanese pro wrestling, especially if you do it live. And some of these shows actually start even at late night, like the show we were recording, the Noah show, that started at, you know, 10 p.m. where I'm at. So it's a perfect time at times when it comes to certain things, but I'm sure everybody engages in that activity as well when they watch. So let us know. As somebody who's not really that much of a drinker, I really appreciate any kind of guidance I can use from the listeners. But above all, you are my guide, Striga, when it comes to this.
Look, I can recommend two beers, and I'll write them down for you so you can find them, and maybe you can find them in your stores there. I don't really know if they have any German beers, or a lot of German beers, but two of them I can really recommend that you can really easily drink is, for example, the first is Allgäuer Büble, and the second one is Bayreuther. And I'm going to write that down on my Twitter too, so that everybody gets the chance to see how it's written.
Wonderful. But, that's great advice, because not everybody would understand that. Exactly. but it's no offense to you. It's just my tongue is not experienced enough for this. My language gravitas, you know. So.
Maybe your language gravitas is now going to get better with you drinking more beer. Who knows?
I got to be honest. The only reason I picked that one is because I liked the label on it, because it was blue and like it had the moon. It was a pretty nice label. But okay.
We all start somewhere, you know.
I know.
Good. That's some beer talk I was not expecting. But
No. We had to get that out of the way, though, because it's been a while. We needed to get to the important stuff, but now we're like ready. That was our warm-up right now, Strick.
Our warm-up, and it's getting fiery now. We are getting to the first tournament of Japanese wrestling that is going on in the moment right now. We can't really say anything about the matches themselves, only about the standings right now, because 01's Fire Festival is going on, and they do have two blocks of seven. Right now they are on day three of their tournament, and it's a bit different than any other tournament in Japanese wrestling because they have a format of 5 points for a victory, 3 points for any kind of draw, and so on. And so Yuji Hino, T-Hawk in Block A, they stand at 10 points with two victories. Then we have Takuya Sugawara with 8 points, who has one draw and one victory. Yoshikatsu Yokoyama with 6 points, who has two draws. Quiet Storm with 5, Towa Iwasaki with 3, and Hartley Jackson with 0 points in that block. And in Block B, Chris Weiss, Hayato Tamura, the champion of 0-1, and Tsukutaka Sato, they all stand at 10, while Yuko Miyamoto, Shogun Okamoto, and Takafumi, the former Ganseki Tanaka, stand at 5. And Masato Tanaka has lost his two matches that he had as of yet with 0 points. And on the show they did just today that we're recording the show in Osaka, they also had the NWA International Light Heavyweight Tag Team title change hands. I was absolutely unaware that Hub and Billy Ken Kidd had been the champions prior to today because they won the title like late last year and they didn't have one single defense until now. But now they lost the belts right away to Sugi and Raicho. And I guess it's pretty much what there is to say about the Fyre Festival, right?
Well, it was a long title reign. You know, I always respect Hub, so
that's a shame too,
that he, it's a shame that he had to lose it. But I personally think you just trolled me on Cage Match by putting me on the 0-1 because you knew I'd have this complicated point system to deal with on there that no other tournament in the world wants to do. But for some reason, 0-1 has to be different here with their sorts of things. But yeah, 0-1's an interesting company.
Shinjiro Otani, not only a genius in the ring, but also a genius on the pencil.
Oh, yes. The booking is masterful in 0-1, for sure. But yeah, I hopefully we can watch some of this in the future. I'm actually pretty interested to see what happens. You've got a really kind of strange but interesting block. You know, this tournament is totally unique when it's light up compared to an All Japan, New Japan, or NOAH. So I want to see where it comes of it, you know.
Absolutely. From there, we go to All Japan's Champion Carnival. That's going to conclude tomorrow as we're speaking. And it basically went like we thought it would, except for one thing. We thought Jake Lee would be in the finals against Kento Miyahara, but Jake Lee lost to Zeus on the final day. So now it's Zeus versus Kento Miyahara, which actually is much more down the alley for a Kento Miyahara match because Zeus as the strong powerhouse unbeaten in the Champion Carnival against Kento Miyahara, who will have to come from behind and in the end win the thing, like Kento Miyahara always does. So, a clear laid out story that, in my opinion, should work out well in the end.
Yeah, I actually, I really liked the way they built up Zeus and his block as well, because leading into all of this, as always, it magically, go on.
He's one of the few highlights of the tournament.
Yeah, not only in ring, but just in the way they built him up, because, you know, somehow, I couldn't believe it happened this way, but magically, the last matches in each block determined who would win between Jake Lee and Zeus and Kento and Shuji Ishikawa. So, basically, I loved how they built up Zeus and Jake with submissions throughout the tournament to build up to their match. Yeah. And, yeah, you know, so I thought that was really good, and it set up this great final match with Kento as well. So I think that's very interesting. When it comes to how they built it up, the tournament itself was interesting in terms of that, not necessarily match quality. I think especially at the start, like those first three shows, they really struggled. You know, I know you agree with that. But night four, and isn't it funny how like night four happened? It was the first big show, and I thought that was a good show actually. But more importantly, they debuted this new Twitter account for All Japan, the international version. Which was just kind of like a revised version of something they did before, but they rebranded it, got more English stuff going on, and it's like they really hit a gear to try to promote this at least. So I really have to give whoever's behind that credit because I think they ended up trying to save this because the first three nights it's like I don't think anybody was really happy with the those first three nights or
no.
thought this lived up to expectations of Champion Carnival.
I mean, it was off to a very bad start with that atrocious finish of Yoshitatsu against Kento Miyahara.
Oh, yeah.
Where we always joke about Katsushika Okada and his money clip. But whatever Yoshitatsu tried there was even more laughable. And Kento Miyahara tapped out in whatever that was. And then Yoshitatsu got injured, was taken off the next show. Shuji Ishikawa got a bye, and they brought in a apparently injured Yoshitatsu to his next match against Yuma Aoyagi, I think it was. Yes, it was. Yep. And he beat him in very quick fashion. So, very unfortunate from the booking standpoint. When you have one guy lose, or one match even be decided to by forfeit, that is very bad for a very small tournament like that. Because, I mean, I'm pretty sure that Shuji Ishikawa would have won either way. But imagine if someone else would have gotten injured in that five-man field there. That's just total death for a tournament like this. And, like, the few things that really stood out to me was, A, that Zeus, that you mentioned, great presentation of his. I'm really into his finishing hold. He's the Misawa-style face lock. I'm also, like, I don't know if you can necessarily say he delivered on being a dark horse, but I thought Yuma Aoyagi looked very good in the tournament.
I thought that he had the best, like, him and Kento was my favorite match.
Yes, absolutely. And I think Shotaro Ashino, he looked good too. Another thing that was good, in my opinion, was all these different kind of finishes that they had in the tournament. As you mentioned, Jake Lee and Zeus being built up through their submissions. So there were positives, but the match quality itself was not high. Although I liked that they not only did a tournament, but they also decided to do storylines throughout these matches or throughout the tournament itself, with Koji Doi, for example, always laying out Yuma Aoyagi after his matches, which is now leading up to a singles match between the two. So that was good.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree with you. You had Hidaka's debut mm-hmm. as well throughout the tournament on the undercards, not necessarily in the tournament, but I think that's when things turned around. They had the English account, they had between Kento and Yuma. Ashino had a great match with Shuji Ishikawa. I thought it was one of the stronger tournament matches. And that Hidaka match with Iwamoto was, to me, one of the best junior heavyweight matches in a while. You know, so I really enjoyed that whole show. I thought they really turned it around there, even though the fifth show wasn't as great as the fourth show, obviously. But night four, I think, was by far the standout show of the tournament. And when you look at these guys, I thought Jake really stood out too, just in his work. I really enjoyed pretty much all of his matches. Him against Zeus and Suwama, I thought, were really good.
The match against Suwama was especially great because you could see why they have him pegged as a top guy.
Yeah, and I think he really delivered his role. I know some people aren't really on board with him, and I think booking really has hurt him more than anything with him. I just think, look at this tournament, I think he did great. Even against guys like Kuma and Jiro, I don't think he did bad at all. I thought those were perfectly solid matches, and like those, to me, were probably their best matches, respectively. That's something I always look for, is not just having great matches with top guys or whatever, but how you deal with these lesser guys that, you know, really weren't standing out on their own. And I think Jake was really the one that did that, even more so than a Zeus, who I really enjoyed in this tournament as well. But I think Jake was a highlight. And Yuma, I love Yuma Aoyagi. I think he's totally awesome. And I thought the Kento match was by far Kento's best. And it's interesting that that happened right after a match that I don't think anybody was happy with Ashino and Kento. I think was a really disappointing people, myself included. You know, because that's the match you circle on the calendar when this block was released. That's the match everybody wanted. That's what they've been building up from the start, and it didn't really work, unfortunately.
It's not like it was a bad match per se. It's just you have these expectations when you think of Shotaro Ashino and Kento Miyahara, and they did something completely different. They told a storyline match, but I don't think this night in this tournament was the right place to tell a story like that.
Yeah, Kento had a rough start between Tatsu and Ashino, but I think he turned it around for the Yuma match. And the Ishikawa match was pretty solid, but I definitely think the Yuma match was a standout. And that shows that, like, when he flips that switch, he can be up there as the best guy in the company if he wants to be. He's a guy that's going to be interesting since he's probably the one that's going to win. I don't want to get too deep into that because who knows what's going to happen tomorrow, but I think all intents and purposes are he should win.
Yes. On the topic of the Iwamoto against Hidaka match, I described it to you how my days looked in the last couple of weeks, and sometimes I just get home, get down on the couch, flip on some wrestling, and just watch it. And this Hidaka and Iwamoto match, these are two guys that just click perfectly. They just go in the ring, and everything they do just works out. And it's incredible because, except from doing a multi-man match before, these two guys had never been in the ring before with one another. Mm-hmm. And what happened was an almost flawless match. And I agree with you that this was definitely one of the best junior heavyweight matches of the year.
And absolutely.
Just usually when I say that, it comes off on a negative note because I use the word flawlessly or effortlessly in negative senses usually, but in this sense, it came off so easily what they did. It just clicked so well. And on that given day, it was just the perfect match for me to watch. And on top of that, we had that great Kento Miyahara and Yuma Aoyage match. So that show, the Kurokanol show from September 21, definitely is the best show of the tournament.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's where they turned it around a little bit. And now, at least through the booking of Zeus, they've got some interest and they've got some momentum back on their side. Because those first three nights, it was looking pretty rough. Right? Mm-hmm. We're a little bit of ways away from that right now as we're recording. But real time, I think a lot of people were kind of like, you know, it was some nervous watching going forward. But they really pulled it together on night four. Night five wasn't that special. I enjoyed the Zeus and Jake match because they built it up really well. But mm-hmm. everything else you could probably skip.
Yeah. Pretty much.
But I thought that they at least got some momentum for the tournament final. And it's been mentioned. I wonder what the deal was with Hidaka getting the title shot on that show instead of the final show. Because you think that might have beefed it up a little bit more in the semi-main event of that show. But I guess maybe they just had an idea that, look, the final is going to draw the most on its own, and we don't need it. We want the title match in this other, lesser show.
Yeah, I really can't explain that either.
Yeah.
It's just that All Japan sometimes schedules matches on a weird place. It's just something they do.
Yeah, but I guess we could talk about it at the end of the show because we're nearly done with this tournament. Like I said, we've only got the final match left of the tournament. But I thought that they at least did a decent job of pulling it together at the end. But of the three that we're going to talk about, this was clearly the third, in my opinion. Like I said, they kind of pulled it together at the end. But even then, throughout this tournament, you got some disappointing stuff like with Kento and Ashino. Like Jiro and Kuma were not impressive in A block. Seeing these guys come in for the first time from Wrestle 1, you might have a chip on your shoulder with these guys. But it didn't appear to be there too much, unfortunately. Even their last match together, I didn't see a lot like that they showed me personally. Everybody knows how I feel about Jiro. But still, I honestly really wasn't a fan of these guys' tournaments. I think this was their chance to really improve and impress people. But I didn't really get the sense that they have it, you know.
Thing is, when you look back at the original lineup, we were really excited for the Champion Carnival, and I figured this is a small tournament, and they could really highlight some of those guys in the tournament, but it didn't really deliver, as you said. The circumstances weren't the greatest. Mm-hmm. And then I wonder why a guy like Ayato Yoshida wasn't used at all. Mm. It's not like he's an outsider that comes in from America or so. He's there all the time. But they didn't use him. So that didn't make any sense to me when I thought about it in retrospective.
Yeah, I mean, I have no idea. Maybe just the timing of it. They, you know, Kuma has the faction allegiance, obviously. even though he's technically an outsider, just like Yoshida is technically an outsider. Jiro, they see something in. Like, you know, maybe Kento and him are friends as well, since they're in the same faction. So he might have a little bit of an edge there, and it was just a case of an odd man out situation. But I'm sure next year, when they if they're able to have a normal field with normal sides again, I'm sure Yoshida will get his shot, and he has all the potential in the world and just an amazing talent. He would have made the tournament a lot better if he were one of the guys in it, in my opinion. But unfortunately, like you said, I think that's an important note to say, is that you can't take everything away from these companies, positive or negative, because things are so weird right now, you know, unfortunately. So they tried to make the best of a bad situation.
One of the greatest stories, except for the tournament, is the rise of Atsuki Aoyagi to be a player in the junior heavyweight division. He's moving on from being just a rookie to actually finding his role. And going back, we talked about these three young guys, Dan Tamura, Hokuto Omori, and Atsuki Aoyagi, and now we're at a point where each of them has found their role within the company. Atsuki Aoyagi, he has one of the greatest moonsaults at the moment. Just absolutely gorgeous how he jumps that moonsault. And except for that, he's gotten much, much... he's gotten more self-confidence, and I think that has translated to him being... better in the ring overall.
Oh, totally worthy of this opportunity he's going to get after he pins Sato in the tag match on the undercard of the other show. And now he looks like he's going to be in line for a junior title shot with Iwamoto. And I think that's a great test. We've seen Iwamoto defend against Tamura already. And I think pretty much a lot of people thought that was a solid match. Yep. And this match could be good as well. So now you're seeing the young guys, and I also have to give it up to Big Dog Booker himself here. You know, the tournament itself, I think they did some good things and some really questionable things, but in the junior division, I think you've got to give him credit, because last year at this time, it was a barren view of this division. But this year, in 2020, with the rise of Susumu earlier on as the outside champion, now you have Iwamoto, and he just had a great match with Ikuto Hidaka, bringing him in. You've got the young guys coming up. You know, they've even moved up Akira a little bit, teaming with Kento's faction. So they've got a good division now, like a nucleus for a good division now with all kinds of stuff. Even Izanagi got a push. So it's clear that Ishikawa has taken care of this division. Like, good or bad, however this all turns out, the effort is there. And I think that's a lot more than it's been over the last few years with the juniors in All Japan. I think in 2020... a lot more care has been put into them. And I think so far, the results have been all positive, and pretty much everybody has delivered. And I have no doubt that Aoyagi will be the next one that will.
By the way, looking at our year-end awards and looking back to our half-year awards, Dylan, Francesco Akira definitely running away with the award of Best Foreigner.
Oh, yeah. I love Francesco Akira. I think he's got great stuff. The only heartbreaking thing is that they broke up my team, Akira Hokuto. Now that Omori's in Fonts, they can't team together anymore. So that's the only negative. But yes, he's a great, great talent, and I love that he's there.
But now it's Rising Akira.
A close second.
Yeah, it's not as good. Yeah. All right, Champion Carnival, that's it. Another tournament that's nearing its end is the N1 Victory, NOAH Number 1 Pro Wrestling League. Much like All Japan, they also have a gap of 1 week between their final block show and the actual final show in the Big Eden Arena, Osaka. That's going to be interesting to see how they fare there. The final is not really surprising here as well, with Kaito Kiyomiya against Katsuhiko Nakajima. Nakajima, we predicted. Kaito was very plausible too. So
I predicted him too.
Yeah. I don't think there is anything surprising at all. This tournament, I thought, was much better than the Champion Carnival. It delivered on various different fronts. Yoshiki Inamura was in a lot of matches that will, in the end, do him a lot of favors, because he now knows how it is to be in a tournament situation like this. He had the chance to have a lot of singles matches with a lot of experienced guys. And overall, this tournament was composed of so many different guys, of so many different styles, that it had something for everybody, basically. And I mean, what did you think about this tournament?
I thoroughly enjoyed this tournament, to be honest with you. And I like the styles difference between everybody involved. To me, I mean, just from a match quality standpoint, I thought it was really, really strong, to be honest. It was very consistent. To me, there was one match that I would say was even approaching below average, and that was the Marufuji-Taniguchi match. And everything else, I would say, like, literally every other match would be at least solid. You know, maybe the Sakuraba-Kitamiya match from that night four, but that was the doubleheader.
That was short.
Yeah, exactly. So that was just short, more than anything. But everything else, I pretty much liked. You know, like, you know, to be honest with you, I especially enjoyed, to me, one of the MVPs had to be Sakuraba. It deserves special
Crazy,
credit.
Crazy, right? It's incredible. Yeah.
Yes, and I was so excited about him coming in, and I think he totally delivered, and I really enjoyed all of his matches. But
and
none
not,
more so than the go.
It's not it's not like only that his that you know he's a good wrestler. Of course, he's very good at rolling on the ground, and he's very good at grappling. But you could see how happy he was, how much he enjoyed this being in this tournament and having the opportunity to have all these singles matches. I mean, you gotta just be so happy for the guy. We talked about him on our last show, tweeting Yoshihashi that he has now also won his first championship. That guy is just happy. It's so cool.
The MVPs, they're tweeting each other of their tournament. We'll get to that in a little bit, but I particularly enjoyed his match with Go. I thought was my
one
favorite.
Of the standout matches of the tournament.
Yeah, that personally was my favorite match of the tournament, but they had a lot of good ones you could pick from. I wouldn't argue, like, probably seven or eight of them, you know, pretty much. But I also really enjoyed the Sakuraba and Kaito match, and I was very impressed with how Kaito held up with this different style that he usually works.
You know why they did that match?
Why?
Well, of course, they had to... He finished Sakuraba with the figure four leg lock, didn't he?
Yep, Shades of Muto.
Exactly, so they had... basically had the idea with Kaito Kiyomiya now going over Kazushi Sakuraba in the same fashion that Keiji Muto beat him, that people would forget about the atrocious match that he had with Keiji Muto.
Well, that didn't work. but it was a very good match. I was very impressed with his technical stuff. Also, another MVP to me had to be Mochizuki. Mm-hmm. And I really enjoyed it. Again, his match with Kaito I thought was pretty solid, too. I was actually thought it was really good, even though I went to the full draw maybe a little too long. But, you know, I thought I thought that was a good match. The Mochizuki Sakuraba match was a great match as well. So it's like Mochizuki's having all these big matches. Mochizuki and Go, again, he's another guy that I really enjoyed. And, I mean, I thought A-Block was awesome. Guys like Sugera are always going to do good. Kaito, I thought, did very well in the tournament. And I also want to give special props to somebody who maybe I've been a little bit critical of, but I've thoroughly enjoyed his tournament in that I love that they've given Keno this new submission finish and let him do different things rather than just go the same knockout route that we had. The fact that they took the time to put this over, and if you look at the first couple of days, you could see that they went out of their way to have different finishes for everybody. So I thought that made the matches a lot more exciting, and even though if you look at the match times, they were actually a lot longer than something like the Champion Carnival, they at least established so many different ways that people could win. I thought that made for a much more fun tournament to watch, in my opinion. So I thought it was well-booked. They got to where we thought it was. It was really the logical route when you think about it. But they had some twists and turns here and there, but basically it was how you thought it would go. But just watching the matches, I really enjoyed the match quality of the tournament.
Match length is a huge talking point on this show. It has been for years. But if you, for example, look at the Marufuji versus Sugiura match that went to the time limit, I gotta say that the match length didn't really bother me because it always goes back to this talking point of the Noah style that I have, which is a style, I would say, where the people are... You always bring out, when you talk about Zack Sabre Jr., you say World of Sports on speed.
Yeah.
And the Noah style is completely different from that. Noah heavyweight wrestling is with a very slow approach. And if you do that, you can have a 30-minute match that has his that has its peaks. But you know that these peaks are coming, while at the same time, it has a steady flow. Whereas the New Japan 25-minute match, it's move and move and move and move and move. You know? Yeah. And that's the difference. And that's why these long matches don't really feel that long. Even though not as much is happening in the matches, it just feels differently. And, you know, my the Sugiura and Maru Fuji match is up there with my favorites. Other matches that you've already shouted out is Shiozaki and Mochizuki. I think that's my favorite match of the tournament. And we even shouted out Mochizuki beating Shiozaki before, I think, when we did our preview.
It made perfect sense for him to get a title shot.
So I'm looking forward to that title match. The Shiozaki-Sakuraba match, as you said, was great. A sleeper candidate of a match that I really loved was Katsuyuki Nakajima against Shuhei Taniguchi, where Taniguchi picked up his one victory, except for beating Inamura. And, well, also the Nakajima versus Kenno match I thought was good. You don't like those matches, so I know
that. I thought this was a lot better than their match last month, personally.
Yeah, it was. It was, definitely.
Yeah, I even said it on the Patreon that this was probably my favorite one that they ever had. You know, it wasn't my favorite of the tournament, but if somebody said it was, I wouldn't argue with it. I thought that was a very good match, to be honest with you. I thought it was a solid match between them and probably their best I can remember. And I like that they took a different path to it, too, and I thought they did a great job building up Kenno throughout this tournament as a good national champion.
So, yeah, that's basically the tournament as it is, as it stands. They once again have shaken up the junior division.
Oh, okay. Let's get to this. This is my main event of the Noah talk.
So, I'm lost. Full Throttle isn't anymore because there has been another turn because Yohei turned on Daisuke Harada and the Full Throttle guys were mad at Atsushi Kotoge for teaming with Daisuke Harada. So they turned on him, and now everything is up in the air again.
Okay, let me try. I'm going to try to explain this again, just like last time.
Shot.
Yeah, just like last time, I'm going to try and work this all out, because I know it's confusing for many people, and justifiably so. Nobody should feel guilty about not knowing what's going on in the junior division in NOAH. So basically, Yohei is in Full Throttle now, and Kotoge is out.
Yes.
Okay, so like that, they're a team. Yohei.
Are they still Full Throttle though?
I think so. Maybe. I don't think. I've heard no word of them not being Full Throttle, just with Yohei. But you may be right. Maybe there is some sort of change. But regardless, Yohei,
maybe
Ohara.
Maybe Atsushi Kotoge holds the copyright to the Full Throttle name. Who knows?
That is true. We don't know. We can't get into the IP logistics of NOAH right now. That's going to be a whole other complicated conversation. But Yohei, Ohara, and Yoshioka are now a trio. And I also want to mention, like, this angle was really stupid. Because if you remember how this all happened, basically, everybody attacked Harada. Like, this is when Yohei turned. Mm-hmm. And who comes out to save Harada? Okay. The Kongo Juniors, including Tadasuke, who just turned on Harada. Is now saving him from a turn. That wasn't that long ago that he turned.
And then all the Suzuki-gun juniors came out too because, of course, Sugiura-gun came out too because they have to be there too.
No reason whatsoever.
They don't have any cards in this game. They just were there to be there.
It was such a dumb angle. Like, I couldn't believe Tadasuke saved Harada after all that. And yes, the Sugiura-gun Junior's coming out. Just Nosawa shamelessly getting camera time. There's like no shame whatsoever. But there is one good thing about all this. And this time, as crazy as this all has been, this whole summer of the NOAH Juniors, I am so happy that Momo no Station Tag is back together.
Yes.
Like, to me, they're one of the best tag teams. And I absolutely love Kotoge getting to do what got him over in the first place, and which is not be so goofy, like with Full Throttle and these guys. So I cannot wait to see them team and, you know, have a good run with the tag titles, hopefully. In terms of the turns and all of that, who knows what all that means and where things are going. Hopefully that they could just settle it down, because I think that is one thing they really should think about. Just too many turns.
Ultimately, too many turns.
It's all too fast. It's all too nonsensical. At first, I thought Yohei had joined Stinger in that, because remember, he was attacking Harada. He wasn't necessarily siding with Ohara. So I was afraid that him and Hayata were going to team together again. But instead, they swerved us all when Kongo ran out, when Tadasuke trade 1 month ago, and they moved Yohei to this whatever this full throttle deal is called now. But I actually think Yohei fits them better than Kotoke did, just at an aesthetic point of view. Him and Yoshioka are a good team, like they fit much better as a team, and Ohara can make a good leader, even though he doesn't really fit the other two either. But I think Yohei and Yoshioka are a good matchup stylistically as a team.
Yes, agreed. The main reason that I wanted to talk about the juniors is their next card that they have for the finals. And there is Momono Seishin Tag challenging for the GHC Junior Heavyweight Tag Team title against Stinger, Yoshinari Ogawa, and Hayata, who are the champions. The junior singles title is on the line with Kotaro Suzuki defending against Hao. And, of course, Kaito Kiyomiya against Katsuhiko Nakajima. Nakajima is winning and challenging Go for the title. And it makes the decision to turn Nakajima against Go even more questionable now. They could have done this with a slow burn, but they decided to burn it all down.
Yeah. I mean, we went through this before, and I don't think either of our opinions have changed throughout this tournament. I think there's no reason for it to. It definitely should have not. The turn was just nonsensical. Ultimately, there was no reason for it. But they did what we all thought they were going to do, and they felt this need for some reason. So, yeah, Nakajima and Go, it should be a good match. And I'm sure they're setting up even more turns within Kongo coming up. So this time the heavyweights can get their share of it, because that's what I think a lot of people have teased that with, Nakajima beating Kenno in the first night.
Well, definitely, it's definitely going to happen that Nakajima takes over Kongo.
Yeah, exactly. So
clear.
Yeah, who knows what Kenno, like, they couldn't make this more obvious what's going to happen, but you know, pretty much. But that's okay. That's honestly okay. Like, I personally wouldn't mind a rebranding of Kongo anyway, because they were kind of doing better now with Kongo, now that Kenno's got the national title and you have Nakajima in the group. But in general, I think that brand was pretty lame for a long time and not anything that anybody really cares about. So if they want to change some things around with Kongo and kick Kenno out and make a Nakajima's group, maybe have some kind of split off, I would be fine with that. I don't think there would be anything wrong with that.
Isn't there like 9 guys in Kongo now?
They could easily split off. Like a five, you know, like Kongo could, or Kenno could take.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8. They have 8 guys. Yeah.
3 guys follow Kenno, and half the guys hate Nakajima anyway. So you have natural pairings, pretty much, yeah. I guess you could say. I would love, just to round back to that junior point a little bit, I think a cool story, I talked about this on the Patreon show with Robert, but I would love their idea, because I've been clamoring for Harada to move up to heavyweight for a while now. I just think, like, this tag team is a good way to squeeze that last bit of life, like, out of them. Because I feel like Harada's done everything in the junior division now, and no matter who he faces, we've seen it before multiple times. So I would love if they actually did a thing where they both went heavyweight, and it was kind of like Kotage's redemption based on what happened before. Because remember, when he went up the first time, it's like he abandoned Harada.
Yeah.
And he could say, like, look, that was a huge flop. I had to come back down. I betrayed myself and became this other crazy person.
Yeah.
And like, now we're going to do it the right way together.
Exactly. Rebranding and starting from scratch. It's a great idea.
Yeah. So I hope that's where it goes. That's kind of like my little bit of fantasy booking, I want to say. I think they would add a fresh face, some fresh faces to the heavyweight division as well. But yeah, the Nakajima and Kaito match should be very good. I've mostly enjoyed pretty much all of their stuff they've done. Like I said, I really, honestly, in the tournament, I've pretty much enjoyed every match of the tournament, outside of one and maybe two, if you want to stretch it a little bit. So I think everybody's done good. There's really been no weak links or anything like that. So I think that it's been a very strong tournament. Hopefully the booking can just calm down a little bit.
Yeah.
That's all I want, just calm it down a little bit.
But mostly, the tournament has absolutely delivered as we thought it would.
Absolutely. Like, to me, this is my favorite of the three.
Yeah. Agreed. So let us move on to the third now, with the G1 Climax, where almost at the halfway point with 8 shows down. And they will have another shot of 4 shows in a row. And I don't know how I will be able to follow them with the Champion Carnival final also being on. So who knows when I get to do another show. So let's jump in here. So my idea of the tournament, or my idea to look at the tournament, was to basically talk about all the wrestlers that are in from bottom to top by the current standings that we have. And then also, much like we did with the N1, shout out a few of our favorite matches of the tournament. And since you and Rob reviewed all the matches on the Patreon, we're not going to go deeply into like discussions of, I don't know, did Hiroki Goto do a good selling job in this certain situation or so. We're not going to do that. You do that with Rob usually on the Patreon shows, and I really appreciate you going over all these matches with him. So if you want that content, please check out our Patreon, patreon.com/EasternLariat. But now we have these two blocks, and as of right now, before the quadruple of shows coming up this coming week, in block B, do you want to start with block A or block B? I don't really care.
Okay, well, let's just go ahead. A block started us off first, so okay. We might as well just go. Yeah, let's just go with the A block.
All right, Yujiro Takahashi.
The man we all want to hear about.
Yeah, I mean, I heard you talk about him on the Patreon, and I basically don't have much to add. Let me briefly paraphrase what you said is that you basically were the high man on Yujiro Takahashi throughout this whole year. And of course, you've been you have been fair to him that he had not been awful in his matches. But I don't think that there is any way to sugarcoat that he does not belong amongst the 20 best wrestlers in New Japan Pro Wrestling.
No, I mean, there's really, he's done nothing to stand out, to say the least, against these guys. I don't think there's even, really any doubt about that when it comes to that. I also think that he's in a rough position because he has been feuding with Okada, and we're going to talk about him. Mm. But I think that's been an anchor for him more than like any kind of positive, ultimately. But I thought he's done fine, like just a body in the tournament, the 20th best guy. Like, he's fine. But it's not like, you know, if you gave me the choice of a Yujiro level guy and let's go with a, you know, take a risk on somebody who maybe he'll be good or maybe he'll flop, but it's, you're losing nothing if you lose Yujiro, unfortunately. And he's fine, but nothing more, like absolutely yeah. Nothing more at all.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to flip the switch here on these standings as we have them. Jeff Cobb first. Jeff Cobb, probably, much like Yujiro, a body in the tournament, although he has been better than Yujiro. He had some good matches, but once again, not really a match that made him stand out or look like a threat to anyone. And if I'm not mistaken, he's now under a full New Japan contract. So I'm wondering why they don't really give him a shot to be in a bigger position. You talked about that on Patreon too. He's usually in these lower tier matches on the G1 cards. Why? I mean, if you have a match against Kota Ibushi, for example, Jeff Cobb against Kota Ibushi, why can't that be a headlining match for one of the shows?
That to me was the one match where it felt like he was starting to show something.
Exactly.
And it's like they cut it off before it could get any better than all of his other matches, yeah. Pretty much.
But the point is when Cobb is taking on a main eventing guy, why can't that match be a main event for a change that you don't always have the same people main eventing all the time?
Well, I do agree with that there is way too much of the same guys, you know, carouseling around the main event. But to me, Cobb has not shown me anything to suggest that he is a main event level talent in this tournament. Personally, I really have no interest in anything he's doing.
Just an example of what you could do in a tournament like this.
If they gave him more time in that match with Ibushi, I think that he would have delivered. But everything else, it always feels like he's in perpetually second gear in all of his matches. And, you know, I was talking, we did a show, I think last month, when they were doing the tournament in the U.S. tournament. That's another tournament. I even forgot about that we covered on Patreon. Me and WH did a show on there. And basically, it always feels like he's always in the same gear, but maybe it's his motivation. Because you've seen him in Ring of Honor have these big performances and stuff, and maybe it's just if you give him something to do, he'll step up, and he's just gonna, you know, cruise control it. And that's what I feel about his tournament until that Ibushi match, and then like right when they were starting to hit that next gear, they cut it off. So I would have think if they put those guys in the main event, he would have delivered. And up to that point, though, I'd have just been like, man, like this guy is not that much better than usual. Like to me, if you're looking at replacing people or taking people out, he would be near the cut line in my book. It's nothing against him. He does fine in these matches. He's a totally fine, serviceable guy to have in these second matches. But it's like, he adds nothing, really. You know, like, there's no story going on with him. He's just a guy. That's really what I think of his tournament so far. And until that Ibushi match, and maybe you're right, if they pushed him more, they could have given him more of a shot. But to me, up to this point, I think we need to see more from him as well before we put him up there.
He definitely needs to change gears to secure his position, I think. Then we have Shingo Takagi. He's also at the bottom right now with 2 points. And, man, I don't know. What can you say about Shingo Takagi? I mean, whenever he's put in a position where he's supposed to deliver, he does. For example, in the match with Ishii. Of course, I picked him to win Block A when I did the pick-ems with Flosh. We went over that, and we also went over that given the cards that have come out. We did our pick-ems. I backed away from that. I still think he will play much more of a role in the tournament as it rolls on, but mostly at a position of an 8 to 10-point guy.
Nah, he's going nowhere in this tournament. Like, look at the guys he has left in the tournament. They've already gotten guys like Cobb out of the way. Yeah. He's still got Okada on the block. I mean, like, the match with Ishii was awesome, but I was kind of talking about this with Robert on the last show. I really haven't been up and down until the Ishii match. I thought he was kind of not at the top-tier level you would expect, like, last year. And it's no it's no fault of his. It's just his opponents, really, more than anything. But now it's like you get this match with Ishii, and it's like, all right, here we go. You know, like, here we go, pretty much. And he's got guys like Ibushi, Okada. I just don't see how he's going to get these points against these top guys unless they really have something for him.
You do know that they always balance all the blocks in the end. So he's probably going to end up with 8.
That's the smart prediction. Like, it's either going to be 6 or 8. Even if a guy looks like they're going to go low now, like, they're going to get a few wins. It's just tough. They kind of backloaded his block a little bit with these guys. But yeah, like, I hope so. I hope he gets a lot of points. Like, personally, if it were up to me, I think he's a very talented worker. I just, unfortunately, I kind of talked about this on the Patreon show. I think he's like inevitably never level. Like, they have no gains of him being a main eventer at all. Like, and I think me and you talked about it on the last show. Like, I don't see any potential of him being a main eventer. And it's not because of him. It's because of Gato.
Maybe. So I definitely agree that he has been a mixed bag in the tournament, but it's not really to the fault of his... Really because of his own fault. Someone who has not been a mixed bag, someone who has been unquestionable the MVP when it comes to match quality, is Tomohiro Ishii, also right now at the bottom of the tournament, much like Shingo Takagi. I think he's basically the same guy that we can talk about now. He goes along with Shingo Takagi. Great matches, never position, never will go anywhere else than that position. Will pick up his points throughout the tournament, had some outstanding performances already, and he always delivers.
The shining light of A-Block for me. Like, no matter what has happened in this tournament, He's always been the one that's there. And I, you know, it's funny because before the Shingo match, I was kind of thinking, man, it feels like Ishii had a way better year last year. And I'm like, is this the year? And then suddenly you turn your head around. It's like, oh, there's this awesome match with Suzuki. Oh, here's this awesome match with Ibushi. Mm-hmm. Oh, here's this other awesome match. Like, all of his matches are suddenly 4 stars and above, you know? So it's like, man, no matter what the situation you put this guy in, he'll always deliver. I love Ishii, man. Like, why can't they push him more? Stringer? Like, he's the one. Like, he's so good, and he's delivered so much in this crazy situation. Like, no matter what situation you put him in, he's so awesome. It's like,
I love Ishii. Want an answer for that?
It's the same answer with Shingo.
Exactly.
it's not because of him. Like, you know, but it's unfortunate. You know, I thought they gave him a little bit of a nice little run there to give him the win over Shingo. I was actually pretty surprised. I thought Shingo was going to beat Ishii for sure in that match to give him a little bit of a moment. But maybe they have something big planned for Shingo otherwise, and Ishii gets his moment here. But they set it up perfectly with the 0-3 start. So, yeah, like, Ishii's been great when it comes to the wrestling, but he just doesn't have any story attached to him. And you know, it is what it is, I guess.
It definitely is. The one guy sitting at 4 points in Block A is Katsushika Okada.
Oh, our favorite wrestler in this tournament. So, yeah, this has been the big story of the whole tournament. It's his wonderful money clip that everyone loves and is no doubt going to win Move of the Year in the awards, and all of the build up to this whole story. So let's just kind of break this down a little bit here, because this is interesting. They put a lot into this. This storyline is essentially he will not use the Rainmaker, and in doing so, he's holding himself back. They've mentioned that multiple times, even in promos now. Ibushi mentioned it after their match. Other people have mentioned it. And even in the match with Taichi, it's clear, like, the entire match was focused around this one move. Mm-hmm. So they're really working hard on this money clip story. What do you think of it, Strika?
Let me put it this way. There's the World Cup, you know? And it comes down to, like, you have, as a nation in the World Cup, you have 4 to 5 crucial matches. And there is this incredible, incredible striker that you have on your team that is scoring left and right and left and right and has scored so many goals for your team, but he has only scored it with his right foot because his left foot is just useless. Mm-hmm. And then he has this crazy idea that all of a sudden he only wants to score with his left foot because that's what he does now. And his team loses. And his team loses the World Cup final because he just won't strike with his best asset, with his best weapon. And that's what Okada does. The G1 is the equivalent to the World Cup. It's the most important time of the year in New Japan Pro Wrestling. And this guy has no better idea to want to win with a move that he can't properly apply. What the fuck?
This would be like, instead of using your left foot, this is a guy who decided he will only win by diving headfirst into the ball on the ground. Like, that's the only way he will score now, because that's who he is now. That's like this money clip in wrestling.
Jesus Christ. And there will be people who point out how this is a great storyline. It is not. It's just not. No, he's just a dude that in the most important tournament of the year refuses to use the move that has brought him the most success of any wrestler in the last 10 years in New Japan.
But
why would he do that?
And that's exactly the main problem. Like, never mind that he can't do the move worth a crap, because all of his submissions have sucked for basically his entire career.
Yes.
Even in his prime.
I would argue that the Deep in Death was much better than this one.
I agree with you. Like, that there's been nothing worse than this money clip move, for sure. This is by far the worst that he's ever done. But here's my problem with this main storyline. Like, never mind that. I mean, I can suspend my disbelief on this, that it's this devastating move, whatever. He made it to the finals of the New Japan Cup with this move. He beat three men at one time with this move. And right now, he's doing fine. Like, he's not doing significantly worse than he would when it would just normalized. He's got 4 points. Two and two right now, probably about to go to 3-2. There's just no build to it, and that's my problem with this. If they had built up that the Rainmaker wasn't working anymore, and he was going on a huge losing streak, like, let's say he had not won any match, he had taken the fall in every single match since the return of the pandemic or whatever. He lost in the first round, he lost to Yujiro, whatever. And now you're telling the story that he needs to change. Like, the Rainmaker's not cutting it anymore, he needs to try something different. Okay! Like, I'm totally cool with that story. Even if it's this crappy move, which, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't like.
The story.
Yeah, exactly. It's not the story at all. Like, he made it to the finals. He nearly got a world title shot, a double title shot, and reclaimed what he had lost, which he only lost at the start of the year. He had not had any significant losses that had shown that he had lost a touch in any way that he wouldn't have done without the Rainmaker. And we went through the same similar sort of deal. I mean, the optics of it were different, but the point of the story was kind of the same, with the pants and the red hair and the balloons and all that. It was the same sort of thing. He doesn't, and people are saying, even in a real world sense, in his matches, I don't agree with a lot of the takes on this, because I don't think he wrestles significantly differently.
That's another point, Dylan. Sorry, but that's exactly the next point that I would have made, because what made Okada stand out? It was his finishes. The spectacular finishing sequences that he had with the likes of Kenny Omega, for example, with the Rainmaker. That's what made him stand out. The first 10 minutes of his matches are usually the same, and the matches are the same, even now. The finishing stretches that he has now are just plain boring.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So it sucks. Okay, I will try and take some positive out of this, because as stupid as this all is, like, if you take any moment to analyze any part of the story, the whole House of Cards crumbles down pretty much.
But the rematch of Okada and Ibushi on the first night of the tournament.
Yeah,
it was a 21-minute match where you waited for the final moments to be epic, and they just were not epic. The Jay White match with Okada just ended suddenly, which is great because it cut off Okada, and that's what Jay White does. But, man, he... No.
This isn't it.
It's just not been good.
But here's the thing. Like I said, to me, a lot of his tournaments historically in the G1, he's kind of slept walk until the end.
Yeah.
And ultimately, as much as we don't like this, and I don't know, I think most people are not receiving this that well, for whatever reason you want to point out. At the end of this, when he finally brings the Rainmaker back and hits it, it's going to be a huge pop from the crowd. Like, as stupid as this all is, and as bad as we think it is, when he finally does it again, probably winning this tournament from the way that they're booking it right now. But whether it's there, the final, or against whoever... The crazy thing is, the way they've booked the tournament is it has to be in the final, because he's already faced the two biggest threats in the block. Mm-hmm. And it can only be the final match versus Ospreay, or in the final itself, that he brings the Rainmaker back. You're not going to do it in the second match versus Cobb, you know, or whoever he's facing. So it would not, unfortunately, they've telegraphed this block so much that it feels like automatic to me that he is going to win this block at this point with this storyline. The way they set it up, that is the biggest talking point of this whole tournament so far. More than anything else, any great matches you want to point at, everyone's like, why is he doing this stupid money clip? And trying to either explain and defend the story, or just talking about how bad it is. So, unfortunately, I think the fans are going to buy into this, and it's going to get a great reaction when he finally does it, just like when he ripped off those pants in the Tokyo Dome. But that was a lot more epic, to be fair, when he ripped the pants
absolutely.
Off.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. To be honest, the change that he had back then at least was backed by somewhat of a minor losing streak. Mm-hmm. But he didn't lose anything here.
Yeah, I think didn't he go like 7-1 in that tournament that he had the red hair in? Because that was my main problem with him, is that nothing really changed. But here, so
no,
far...
No, the pants, I was...
the pants.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, the pants were fine. It's just when he went to the red hair and the balloons and all that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so when he brought back the regular gear, that's when the crowd really took to him. And I think whenever he hits that Rainmaker, it's going to work. Like, at the end of the day, it's something, it's going to work. That is my prediction, even though I don't like it. And I'll happily admit, when maybe I don't like something, that doesn't mean it's not working. And I think this is going to work with the fans.
Clearly.
As much as I don't want it to. I want this to be totally rejected.
Maybe part of the reason it's going to work is that a lot of people think this storyline is stupid. And they will so just bad. Be happy when he finally goes back to the Rainmaker.
Yeah, like maybe just like the pants. Like nobody liked the pants, so now they're gonna bring it back. Oh, and the theme music too. He brought the music back at the Dome. That was one of the biggest Dome pops for when he took off the pants. Was when he took off the pants. So how crazy is that? And that's the same thing with this tournament. One of the biggest pops of this whole tournament is gonna be when he hits that Rainmaker yet again and vows off this money clip. But how are they going to get there? Because the way this is turning out is that he's going to have to win a lot of matches, and we know he's not going to lose a lot of matches. So what is the impetus to return to the main Rainmaker if he's winning all of his matches? It is another question with the story.
I don't know, man.
All questions, nobody has the answers to, it, apparently.
Right now, but you'll probably be on top of the block very soon. He's not far away, just 1 point from the top of the block, and still has these matches left that he'll probably win. And right now, we have 5 people sitting at 6 points. First of them is Minoru Suzuki, who started off great with this incredible, incredible match with Tomohiro Ishii on the first night of the tournament. Then he took a seat back. The match against Taichi, the match against Cobb, and then the one against Yujiro. I'd say with each match, he lost something. With the Yujiro match being the worst of them all. Now, he's Minoru Suzuki, and we've talked about that before the tournament. He is going to have this kind of tournament. There is going to be the occasional great match, but there are also going to be a lot of very average matches, and that's just who he is in this tournament.
Yep, peaks high, just exactly what you said, peaks high, and just kind of coast through these other matches. I actually thought the Taichi match, you could argue, is even worse than the Yujiro one, but neither one of them are winning match of the year or anything like that, so to speak. So yeah, those aren't great opponents, like those three in a row, but... And another thing about him is that he just really doesn't have any purpose or story in this tournament. It's just like, he's a never champ, so like here he is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is the story.
That Ishii match was awesome, though.
It was. Moving on to Kota Ibushi. What's your impression of him?
Well, he's an interesting guy, like in this whole tournament overall, because he got the big win over Okada in the first show, but it feels like he's far away at the same time, and it's like he's at the top but he's not at the same time. I don't know how to explain my feelings on Ibushi. He just had a really weird tournament in my book, although his match with Ishii, awesome. That's a theme in this tournament. Ishii's matches are very good, and then the rest are at a completely different level. What was his match? The Cobb match I thought was pretty good, but they cut it off too short, unfortunately. We kind of talked about that already. And the White match I didn't really love, to be honest, either. But he's just his story overall feels kind of disjointed. And he's somebody that I felt like would feel more like the one that's ready to win. But I don't really get the sense. I think it's clearly either Okada or Jay they focused on. And even Ospreay, I think, has gotten more love than Ibushi, actually, in this block. So it's really weird right now. And I'm interested to see what he does this second half.
I think I can point to what the weirdness is. The weirdness comes from him presenting himself and wrestling like a top guy. But the like he's presenting himself like this top guy, but the presentation he gets from the promotion and the booking he's getting from the promotion tells you differently. And that's where the crack in the whole Kota Ibushi story is. You don't really know where he is right now or what he's supposed to be. Is he going to go back to be a tag wrestler with Tanahashi? Or are they going full force with him? Right now, neither of the two.
So they did. They did do a little thing with his promo afterwards where not only the first time against Okada, he's the one that kind of called out him not doing the Rainmaker, but also he did a good little promo where he was like, Tanahashi, you'll be in the finals and I'll be waiting for you, pretty much. So that set up at least a story for him going forward that he wants to face Tanahashi.
But again, it feels like in most of these post-match promos, the guys create stories for themselves.
Yeah, I agree, because maybe that'll happen and pay off, but right now, I don't know if that's the plan, considering the way that Okada has been looking, and the way they've been pushing him. You know, like you said, I completely agree with you, that they have not presented him as the top guy as much as someone like an Okada.
He feels like the top guy. When he wrestles a guy like Jeff Cobb, as you mentioned, the finish came kind of out of nowhere, but it was absolutely appropriate when you think about that Kota Ibushi headlined Wrestle Kingdom and Jeff Cobb is just this foreign dude that came in for this tournament. The finish was appropriate. And he feels like he's a top guy. But is he a top guy?
I mean, we talked about this before when we were talking about Hiromu. And basically, I said that they have not gotten maximum potential out of Ibushi, in my opinion, like in terms of booking. I know a lot of people give him credit for that, but I don't think they have. Like, if that is Hiromu's fate, then they're not going to get the best out of him either. So I know a lot of that's kind of like a controversial statement that, like, they've done a great job with Ibushi, but I don't think they've gotten the most out of Ibushi historically. Even last year, I thought they did not get as much as they could. Remember when they announced that he had finally signed the contract to New Japan? Yeah. And he got a huge reaction. And that was like one of the biggest New Japan reactions. To me, when that moment happened, I would have said, look, this is the guy. He's winning the title at the Dome. But they didn't go there, for better or worse. And I mean, Naito's a great champion in his own right, very popular and all of that. But Ibushi, to me, I don't think they've ever gotten what they could have out of him. And I think now we're nearing the point where this guy's not a spring chicken exactly anymore. You know, his time, his clock is ticking right now. As young as he looks and as crazy as his antics are and as great of a wrestler as he is, I think they need to really keep that in mind. But
he has mileage behind him.
Absolutely. You know, that said, I will say one thing. I think another thing that kind of hurts him is that he did win it last year. So that's going to shy Gato away from kind of putting him at that top level anyway, or making it seem like this is his year. Because to me, maybe they'll surprise us. You can't completely write it out, but to me, it doesn't feel like it's his year, unfortunately.
Absolutely agreed.
The wrestling has been good, though. Like, he wrestles. You cannot take anything away from him on a performance basis.
Taichi.
Here's the thing. As much as I didn't really like that match, in fact, I really didn't like that match at all, but him beating Suzuki made his tournament worthwhile, ultimately. Like, that's the only thing they needed to accomplish with this tournament, is him beating Suzuki. I actually thought that they might hold off on that for a little while, to be honest, but regardless, they did it now, and I think that ultimately justified his entire tournament. And I will say this, I really did not like that match with Suzuki, but the match with Okada, I thought, was better than the usual Okada fare. Like, better than the Yujiro and Okada match and stuff like that. So I think
way better than that?
Yeah.
Still not
a low bar. Yeah. Yeah, a low bar to clear. I thought the Cobb match totally sucked on night one as well. I was not a big fan of that
Very
at all.
Very slow.
Him in general, he's just really, like, slow, awkward kind of worker, ultimately. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just who he is at deep down. But we do have Ishii coming up. So, like I said, Ishii versus Taichi.
Exactly.
Could they repeat last year? And maybe Taichi gets that motor running? I said, I don't think he's the worst, like, out of all the guys in the tournament. You know, on paper, he's somebody that would be near the bottom of my list. But if you put a gun to my head, I would take him over Yujiro and probably Kabuto, to be honest. If you put a gun to my head, and that's kind of a low bar, but he at least justified his tournament with the Suzuki win, and that's all you can really ask for.
And you know he will have this great match with Ishii, and he will probably have one or two other matches that could at least be good. So he definitely has a role in this tournament, and it's not like with Yujiro where you say, he's not top 20 material. He definitely is in this circumstances that New Japan is right now. So, yeah, him having 6 points right now, probably he's going to probably have one or two wins more, but that's it for him. But definitely a guy that they can always bank on.
Yeah, you know, they always go with a guy who wins a lot early and then loses a lot, or a guy who loses a lot early and then wins a lot. Mm-hmm. So it seems like he's that guy in A Block, that he won a lot early and he's probably going to take some falls coming up. But he's still in play as a potential spoiler, especially since he is the tag champion.
Yes.
So, you know, yeah, like a worthy addition, but not one that I'm overly interested in seeing, unless he's facing Ishii, which, like, clearly Ishii is the key in A Block.
Clearly. A guy who came back with a lot of fanfare and the crowds really took to him. We've talked about his position in speaking out a lot, and you've talked about that too on the Patreon. Will Ospreay, also 6 points. And I will say that, of course, he has the match with Okada on the final day, but even if he hadn't, the way he presents himself, the way he acts, the way he carries himself, the incredible self-esteem that he shows in every situation, in every match, in every entrance, is so telegraphing that he is one of the key guys that they focus on. I mean, he's not even trying to create like somewhat of a doubt that he would be one of the core guys, one of the key guys in the tournament. He knows he is, and that's how he carries himself. You talked about, also on the Patreon, he talked about his facial expressions that are so over-the-top goofy, and that's yes. Part of that. He knows that he's a top guy, and he wants to rub it in everyone's face. That's Will Ospreay.
I think it definitely works better as a heel gimmick, which is kind of where they're going with this, than as a baby face or anything like that. But you're totally right. Like, and I feared that this was going to be the case more or less when I looked at the block. And like the fact that he's facing Okada kind of signaled it off, or kind of, you know, tipped us off to this. But he was going to be one of the project guys of this tournament, and I think there's nothing that is even disputable about that. Going in these first four A Block shows and going forward, that you're right. He knows it. He knows he's got a bright future in this company, and he's feeling himself right now. And it aids his, you know, heelish character work as well. You know, the Western response and everything to speaking out. You know, you're that's something that's going to be there ultimately, and he can't run away from it. Even if he deletes his Twitter account, you know, like ultimately, like it's always going to be there. So. You know, if you just want to grade his matches for what they are, you know, he's somebody that I think, from a character perspective, works better as a heel. But at the end of the day, I'm really kind of, and like I said, even before all this, I wasn't always the biggest fan of his and his style. Because if you look at the match, like look at that match versus Ishii, which I think was a solid match ultimately. But something that really stood out to me is that when he debuted this new move, kind of like the Stormbreaker into the Slamming Piledriver, which is a devastating move on paper, he immediately has to go to the Hidden Blade and then the Stormbreaker again. It's like, I have to do all my moves and all these matches. I have to wrestle my match, like no matter who I'm against, what their style is. In comparison, like a good example of this is somebody in B Block. Goto, to me, wrestles other people's matches very well and can adapt to other people's styles. For better and worse at times. Ospreay, he's going to do his match. It doesn't matter who he's against, whether it's Shingo, Ishii, Jay White. Like, he is going to do his thing, and to hell with the consequences, pretty much.
Much like Okada.
I completely agree.
It doesn't really matter who he's against, he's going to have the same match.
And I completely agree with that. But if you're into his style and his flips, and you can overlook all the speaking out stuff, then I'm sure there's been a lot of people that have enjoyed these Shingo and Ishii matches. But for me, I would there's just not a lot of depth in them. It's like he's just going to do his moves, and that's really what his matches are ultimately. And like him having to act, you kind of brought up the facial expressions. Any kind of acting is so lame and cheesy, and I've always hated that with him. This isn't a new foray with him. He's always been this way. So unfortunately, we're going to have to deal with more of his terrible selling going forward. But also, I do think it works better as a heel, though, than as a babyface, because he comes across really, really unlikable if you just watch the show, like just based on how he acts, unfortunately. And now his promos are getting there. That promo he cut the other day was like, who gave you this idea and thought that it was good? Maybe it's like, abstract art. like it's something that on paper just looks dumb, but there's some sort of secret brilliance to it to some people that maybe I'm missing personally. And that's maybe what his promos and his acting is, unfortunately, because on paper, this just sucks. The stuff that he's doing right now, that promo sucked.
Yeah. What do you want me to say? I don't know.
It sucked when Omega did the same promo before, yeah. and he's copying him now. Why? Like, what inspired this change? I don't know, man. Like, but yes, ultimately he's going to get a lot of points and be in line on the final day. And who knows how far he could go, or like just how big this can go. It's clear though, going forward, he is going to be a major player. And part of this whole tournament again is a project for him to move him up. And I have heard this from other people as well, that one of the main goals is to move him up into that top five, top six of the company, and I think they're well on their way to doing it. And he just got a major win as well over Jay White. So it's clear that they put him in that position.
Absolutely. Finally, we have Jay White in Block A.
Yeah.
They brought him back to a position where he left off in New Japan. That he came back with a win over Shingo Takagi, and he came back the same way that we know of him, the same way that he left, with Gedo in his corner doing the shenanigans. Not a big fan of that. We talked about that after Wrestle Kingdom. Then he had the victory over Kota Ibushi, which I thought was a better match than the Shingo one. Mostly for the finish and the nature, the sudden nature of the finish, how it happened, because he just hit Ibushi with this, with a Blade Runner out of nowhere, and I really liked that. And I thought that the Okada match was worthwhile just for him being there to cut off Okada. But the best match that White had, in my opinion, yet was the one against Will Ospreay, and it's for a funny reason, because in that match, Will Ospreay was the smarter one. He was there to have an answer for every heel move for every heel trick that Jay White had in his pocket. And he also had an answer for Gedo on the outside. Remember, Gedo interfered once, and then Ospreay did a dive to the outside and cleared them both. So Ospreay had an answer for everything and basically returned the favor to Jay White. And I can live with that heel work when it backfires. And that was what happened in the match with Jay White here. So I thought that match was maybe a blueprint of what the Jay White heel character can be without too many interferences with his aggressive side being highlighted. That is what they should go with, and not with the silliness that Gedo has. And we were at overacting. Gedo's acting is just absolutely horrendous.
Oh yeah.
The overacting is it's not even like it's funny or sarcastic anymore. It's just plain bad overacting. Yeah, but except for that, I thought him coming back, he at least plays a good role.
I think that he actually plays a better heel in this era of the clapping fans and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I think he actually, I really enjoyed when he got on the mic against Ibushi He got Mickey Matoy's grill on there too, which I listen, you got to leave Mickey Matoy alone, Jay, on there. But I thought it was actually some pretty good heel work. And usually I think his heel work is really lame, to be honest. And not actually, that's not very interesting. But I thought he did a good job at this tournament thus far, just purely on a character basis. I think he's done a good job.
Yes.
On a wrestling basis, there's still a lot of stuff I don't like, but at the end of the day, I think the White and Ospreay match, I agree with you, was his best match, actually, which is kind of weird. On paper, I didn't think they might be the best matchup. On paper, that's kind of like a nightmare matchup for me. But I thought they actually both over-delivered in that match on a purely wrestling basis. So I thought that was a solid match. I still wouldn't say it was a great match or anything, but it was a solid match between two guys that maybe you wouldn't expect to mix well together with. And I think, in general, in this tournament, his heel character work has been pretty much on point. The only thing I don't like is when he does the spot where he, like he gets Shingo. You kind of mentioned that earlier. And that to me, was probably his worst match so far, in my opinion. Maybe the Okada match, but I thought that was okay. Like you said, White got the win if you're a fan of his, whatever. The Ibushi match I didn't love. Not really because of him, just because I didn't think Ibushi. Like, he did all this leg work, he did this Tanahashi stuff, and then Ibushi didn't sell the leg. But, you know, it's fine. He was fine in there. The Shingo match, I don't like the spot where, like, Shingo had him down for the sliding lariat. And we see this spot all the time with him. It's something he's done for, like, over a year now. But Shingo wind up, and then Jay just falls over and starts laughing about it.
Yeah.
And I hate that because the other guy, like the first time he did it with Goto, Goto handled it perfectly because he immediately attacked him and just started stomping the crap out of him, which is what you should do. Unfortunately, Shingo in his match, and we've seen it with other guys, it's like he falls over and then Shingo's just like, "Aw, drat." It's like, what? Like, no, get your ass over there and stomp the crap out of him. Like, this is not Dora the Explorer. Swiper, no swiping? Screw that. Get your ass over there. So I did not like that at all. Whenever that spot comes up, it always annoys me. And there's a lot of spots that he has, like, with Gato and just in general that aren't good, in my opinion. But for him and what he does, I think he's done an okay job in this tournament. And like you said, it's played a good role, and there's no doubt that they are pushing him very hard as one of the top guys in this block and trying to get him, continuing to try and get him to that top star status.
One thing I don't like about him is the promos after the match.
Yeah.
Because his delivery is just not good. He screams so loud, and he talks... He's too fast. He's too fast on the microphone and he's too loud. With being on the microphone, you just have to be cautious about talking into the microphone. It's hard to follow at certain times what he is even saying. And he will only get a mild applause of the audience because they are in a similar position that I am in front of my TV here. So he has to work on that definitely.
Even on the America shows, the strong shows, he still is not a great promo. Like he kind of cut a similar promo where he kind of tried to sound like a psychopath, or maybe his adrenaline was just going so far he didn't even know. Like you said, was just yelling and screaming. Mm. It's like, man, I don't give a damn about your hooting and hollering. Like, get to the point of this, man. Like, don't do what you said. Like you said, going too fast and yelling on the mic. And I've never really been a big fan of his promos, actually. That's always been a criticism of mine. I remember when he won the title, he cut a really bad promo afterwards. When he did, I remember calling that out. So I agree with you totally. The mic work could definitely use some improvement. But, you know, in Japan, he's speaking English. Who cares? So that's more for us, really, more than anything.
Yeah. All right. So much for Block A, I think.
Yep.
All right, then let us continue on with the block B, and we're once again starting at the bottom of the block with Hiroki Goto.
Yeah,
Dylan, what's there to say about him?
Right now, his story is that he's got an injured arm. Mm-hmm. As we recorded this, they had a really fast match with Zach. Went under 4 minutes. It's clear they're protecting him from the injury. And his next match, they had this long wait. It took like 4 days off. And his first match is going to be against Yano, which will probably be a really short match as well.
Yes.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe by the time we listen to this, it'll be like a 20-minute epic with Yano. But to me, it's clear they're protecting him. His arm is hurt for real, and that's not just a story. But the first match with Kenta, I thought was really good. It actually got to show a really good technical side. to go to as well, but everything else has really not been there and up to his usual standard. Maybe it's because of injuries. The time, to be fair, that 4-minute match with Zach, I thought was about as good as it could have been for that short length. Yep. There's nothing wrong with it. Just unfortunately, there's no story. He's hurt. He's going nowhere in terms of the standings. He's like the Shingo or the Ishii of B-Block.
Mm. I think the match that he had with Tetsu Naito was completely fine.
Yeah, solid.
The match with Kenta, I thought, was better than that.
Yeah, me too.
I really like the chemistry the two have, Kenta and Goto.
I also really enjoyed Goto working this technical style. It's something I mentioned on the A-Block show. He's like, he's a guy that can wrestle different styles. He's not somebody who does the same matches over and over like so many other guys in New Japan. I love when he brings out that different style. I thought he did a great job against Kenta and even kind of outshone him, even though Goto's this bigger guy. I thought he actually did a lot better even in that style. So congratulations to that, and I agree with you on the Naito match. Solid, but unspectacular.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. So, yeah, as you mentioned, he probably has this real injury that he is nursing right now, and kudos to him that he's still pulling through the tournament. Well, with Yano, he's probably going to have a 3 to 5 minute match. It's good for him that he's coming up right now. Except for that, solid to good stuff from Hiroki Goto. You can't expect anything else from him. He always delivers when he can.
And he's still got some big matches coming up, too, against Tanahashi, Yoshihashi. Like, he can deliver some quality stuff coming up as well.
Another one with 2 points right now, and he scored these 2 points against the leader of Los Ingobernables of his own stable. Zanada beat the champion, Tetsuya Naito. Except for that, I'm not blown away by Zanada in any sense. Ooh, this mask, you know? Dude.
How could you be?
Where did he find this mask? Let me rephrase. Who told him that that was a good investment? It looks horrible.
Oh, yeah. I don't know what to think of the mask, really. It's just, it's like Star Wars mixed with some like a really low budget Japanese Star Wars. let me put it that way.
Yeah, he's wrestling a very weird tournament, starting off with 2 losses and then out of nowhere beating the champion. Absolutely weird positioning of the match. I have no explanation why they did the match so sudden with Naito.
It wasn't 2 losses, it was 3 losses.
It was 3 losses, right. But my point stands, why did they do the match so sudden in the tournament with Zanada against Naito? I don't know. Because at the end of the tournament, that win over Naito might be forgotten because the tournament is still so long. If they had done it a little bit later down the road, the image of him beating Naito would have lasted longer, I think. Even though it was awesome when the lights went down and the fans had their phones out and he was standing there in the middle of the ring and the lights shone down on him. That was great. But I think that might be forgotten in a couple of weeks.
The crazy thing is I know you listened up to Night 7 on the Patreon shows, but I made that exact point on Night 8. Because Robert and me got into a little bit of a debate over that match. And that was really one of my main points is like, this could have been something way bigger in general, and I think that would have been a big part of it if they'd held it off till the end.
Yeah, do it in Sumo Hall, and everybody's talking about it.
Especially like the way they booked the tournament with him losing 3 matches in a row, there's a very realistic chance he wins this block at this point. Like that, this is historically a setup for people to win, and they have Evil on the last night, and that would make perfect sense for him to overcome Naito and Evil to make the finals. So I think there's a very good chance he can win this block based on what has happened so far. Unfortunately, the wrestling itself, he really is what he is ultimately. And
you know what the funny thing is about him is that the best facial expressions that he's ever shown was in the match against Toru Yano.
Yeah, I guess.
Like, when he was absolutely dumbfounded that he had lost by count out. That was a great facial expression, but except for that, he's usually the stoic dude who doesn't have facial expression, but that was awesome.
Yeah, I didn't think the match with Goto was that good. I'm not a big fan of him stylistically, ultimately, when it comes to the... We kind of talked about this on the show, but, like, the you know, the breakdancing style, the counters back and forth and all of that. It's just a little much with him, ultimately. And I didn't think that was good. Unfortunately, that was a case of Goto working a style that maybe he should have tried to overrule, like Tanahashi would have, probably. But I thought the Yoshi... Yeah,
the Yoshi-Ashi match was pretty good.
Yeah.
What was really good, though, was the callback to his win over Okada in the Naito match. Because it also was nearing the time limit. They went 27 minutes. And he also hit multiple moonsaults against Naito to win the match. So that was cool, I thought.
That whole point with Naito, I thought it was a real, like, there were some parts of it that were good. But overall, I think it could have been better. And even a bigger moment, kind of like we talked about, I thought there were multiple ways they could have maximized that moment. And I don't think they did, unfortunately, with Naito. And I don't think it nearly approached that Okada match last year.
No.
In terms of a moment for him. And it really should have. Like, this is a huge win for him to beat Naito, the champion and the leader of his stable. That should have been a huge deal. And I, like you said, I don't know how long-lasting this win is going to be for him. But I also have to admit, even though I'm not really a fan of his at all, and I would much rather my other prediction of B-Block, of Tanahashi actually coming to pass to win. But I think compared to that, I don't think he's that great of a worker. But I don't think you can also deny that he is succeeding. For whatever reason, the crowd is into this guy.
Yeah, there is this connection. You can't deny it.
Absolutely.
It's there. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. It just is. Like, it's working. He has something that other guys, and we might be around to talk about some of them coming up, that they just don't have it. Like, you know, there's much more evidence of him than pretty much anybody in A Block being a main event level guy, outside of Okada, obviously. Like, to me, when it comes to the fan reaction, he would trump pretty much everybody. And maybe Ibushi, like, as well, but they haven't really pushed him to that level. But Sonata feels like an organic push, and it's taken, the crowds have taken to it, and it's worked.
And, you know, you can basically see that he is this project, because it's been years and years, and it's now... Maybe now the time has come that the push is getting stronger. But these projects that New Japan has, they always take years to really take off. And Sonata might be the next one.
It looks like it could be his turn. Based on the fact that he lost to Yoshihashi, that was a real tip off that, like, this could be this could be his time.
And it would actually totally play into the loss in Goenavilla story that I had laid out, but unfortunately I had Shingo Takagi pegged for that position and not Sonata.
Yeah, they've really worked hard on Sonata over these past few years, so it makes a lot of sense compared to Shingo. I really wasn't buying that, but, you know, Shingo's a much better worker, so I understand why you would much rather see that.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I said, for whatever reason, he succeeded with the crowds. Like, I'm not really defending him or him that much in this tournament, outside of the ocean.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay. The next one, the final guy sitting on 2 points, is Yoshi-Ashi. And, you know, Dylan, I really love being right, of course. Being right is a great feeling, you know? Mm-hmm. You're right on something, you can just have a victory lap about it. In wrestling, though, I'd almost say that being wrong is much better. And when we had our preview, I said, why is Yoshi-Ashi in this tournament, man? Why is he in? And Yoshi-Ashi has proven me wrong. And actually, I love to be proven wrong in wrestling, because then there is a real organic surprise, a real organic surprising moment for me to see that my point was absolutely wrong. But in most cases, I'm happy about that, because when something is proven wrong that I laid out, it usually works out for the better. And Yoshi-Ashi, unquestionably the MVP of Block B, with unquestionably the second best match, in my opinion, in the tournament, with Evil against Yoshi-Ashi. And this guy is just, as you put it on the Patreon, the perfect underdog. Although, questionable is that he got this early victory over the Zanada. If they had done the Tomoaki Honma way with him, the moment, the final moment of him winning would have been much better, much bigger. But here right now, Yoshihashi is a good player in this tournament and plays a much better role than, for example, Yujiro in Block A. And when he had the match against Hiroshi Tanahashi, that, again, on that given night was the best match of any tournament match, there was this moment with Tanahashi and Yoshihashi after the match, and Tanahashi put his hands on Yoshihashi's shoulder, and they just had this brief moment where they just nodded and smiled at one another, and it was just, it felt to me like that Tanahashi just told him, "I know you're great, and we showed them you are." And that was just a great moment.
Absolutely. I completely agree with all of that. And Tanahashi in the past has singled him out as one of the most underrated guys. Much like myself, by the way, as well. I'm a longtime supporter of Yoshihashi. And to me, I'm not surprised by any of this because I already knew he was a great worker. Unfortunately, people are always going to come back to how he's booked and how he looks, which is not good, ultimately. But through this tournament, he's actually starting to turn people's opinions around, kicking and screaming in some cases. But I've started to see much more of a positive reaction to him. And I think it's just nice to have somebody like him, an underdog type of player, in comparison to so much like shenanigans and nonsense and the money clip. He just wrestles good, yeah. Ultimately.
They even managed to put over the butterfly lock. Something that I thought was absolutely impossible because it always looked goofy. But, for example, in the Evil match or even in the Tanahashi match, the moments when he had the butterfly lock in and Evil and Tanahashi were trying to escape from that, it was absolutely awesome.
Yes, completely. And that part with Evil when he transitioned into the Kimura was just a great moment.
Yeah.
In that whole match. Like that whole match was so good. But not only does he wrestle good, and here's something that I think is worthy of mention in this tournament. He's gotten some of the biggest reactions from this crowd, like when he got the roll up on Juice.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that Evil match, if he had won that match, like this is a moment that's like Hiromu over Evil. It's like he's ready. Like now is the time. Like, Evil doesn't need this. Evil doesn't need this. Like, but Yoshihashi needs it. It's like, it's right there. And, like, they went the other way, unfortunately. But I love in that match how he was the first one. Like, this was the ultimate babyface performance about that Evil match. Because that, to me, I have the Tanahashi and Naito match ahead of it. But the match I'll remember is that one because, never mind it's Yoshihashi, it could have been anybody. I just love that they finally booked a babyface to not put up with this bullcrap that Evil does. Immediately, Evil goes for the chair, and what does Yoshihashi do? Attack him with his staff, and like go at him. He show an edge, show aggressiveness, counter the crap, just like Ospreay over Jay White. It's like Yoshihashi got that spot in B-Block, and I thought it was awesome.
Yeah,
and he showed great fire. Like, this guy's got it. Like, I don't know why people don't like him. Like, he's awesome. And I love that he wrestles against these guys like Tanahashi, and I think he did a great job. Even against Sonata, I thought that was clearly Sonata's best match. I was very surprised he actually won, to be honest, because I'm with you. I think it would have made more sense, just from a storyline perspective, if he had beat someone like a Kenta, who had terrorized him last year in the tag league. I think that would have been a great moment. His last match of the tour is against Yano, and that doesn't mean anything. So I think the Kenta match would be a lot better. But Sonata's great, too. They have the long-term storyline. But in terms of wrestling, like to me, he's definitely been one of the top performers. If he's not MVP, he's not number three in the block. You know, like he's doing a great job. And I'm very happy that you and everyone else are coming around to him. Because to be honest with you, he never should have been out of the tournament. That was because bad decisions were being made and people weren't being fair to him. And it's not just now. It's not just in the tournament. Look at the past. Tenzan, that's not a super worker, had a really good match in the New Japan Cup. Ibushi in the past New Japan Cup had a great match. Like, he deserved it. And unfortunately, people just judged him poorly. And, you know, now hopefully that could turn around. I still don't think he has any upside with the booking, but still, he at least will serve a role as this underdog character. And Tanahashi and me will always believe in you, Yoshihashi. Well, we are the ones that always saw it. So, Yoshihashi, if you're listening, and I know you are, I always believed in you.
Yeah. Man, just some great stuff with him. And on that topic that we mentioned the name a couple of times here already, Hiroshi Tanahashi, well, he pretty much did what we thought he would do, go into the tournament, have an awesome match, which he did with Tetsuya Naito.
He's just had an awesome tournament. Like, yeah. To me, you could easily make the case he's the MVP, just wrestling-wise. Along with Yoshihashi, I think you'd have to put up there. But he had a good, decent match with Juice as well. And there's a moment I mentioned on the Patreon where it felt like he kind of called in Juice, who kind of had this, you know, he had a great match with Yoshihashi early on, Juice. And then, you know, he did the stomp, and we'll talk about Juice in a second, but he kind of went away from it in the Kenta match. So then Tanahashi, the vet, the super high IQ wrestler, brings him back in and brings the crowd back into it. And it's almost like, Tanahashi's so good at every level. Like, this guy is so freaking awesome. Like, any idea of him being toast was totally overdramatic. Like, this guy's one of the best workers in the company, and I think he's proved it yet again in this tournament, and I have no doubt that he'll continue on. And I still think, again, in my prediction, I think, again, in the A block, it really feels like Okada and Jay are the ones they're kind of positioning, and in B block, to me, Tanahashi and Sonata are the ones that feel like this could be their time to go in the final. So I think he's done a great job. And the match with Naito, pretty much everyone loves. Like, that was an amazing match. As they always have, him and Naito have great matches always. So,
always.
I cannot wait to see what he does next. Like, you know, I think he's one of the most valuable players of the tournament for sure.
King of Darkness Evil. What do you think about him?
That's it with Tanahashi? Like, he had a great match.
Yeah, what do you want me to say? I mean...
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, I just, you know, I didn't know if you had any other opinions. Do you think he'll... Do you think you'll do good without the tournament? Still, you know, what do you think the odds are that he wins the block? Let me ask you that.
Let me look at the final day.
He faces, I think, Zach on the final day.
I don't think that he will be in the runnings on the final day, given that they have Naito versus Kenta and Sonata versus Evil.
Yeah.
So he will probably. I think I said it in the preview too, that Zack Sabre is always there to upset Tanahashi, but they also might be going back to the tag. So I'm not sure about that, but I don't think that he will be in the runnings on the final day. He will still play a major role, of course, in the block, as he always does. And to your point, yeah, he can still go, but it's unquestionable that he has all his injuries. And that he will have to take a break after the tournament from all these singles matches.
Oh yeah.
So, yeah, I don't see him in a crucial role for Wrestle Kingdom. But we said it a couple of times. If they want to have him in a crucial role, this would be the time, because the time window is closing down.
I think he deserves it if they go with just from a performance factor, you know, if they wanted to go for it. I think there's no doubt the fans will be along for that ride. The only issue with him is that they kind of did the same story like just a couple of years ago. So like it was kind of like, with Omega. So it's just kind of redundant. That's the only thing against him, really. But if they wanted to put if there is some kind of big plan for Ibushi, or, you know, kind of like my predicted final with Okada and Tanahashi, I think that would totally work in this era as well as a final. I think he'll be alive on the final day, but, you know, because they could easily get there with Ibushi beating Taichi and, you know, let them have a tag title shot that way. That kind of plays into their story, too, that they had of Tanahashi being the weak link. But especially considering, it's funny how you look at the tournaments in New Japan. If a guy loses two or three matches earlier on, look out. Like, it's not about who wins. And Tanahashi was that guy, like him and Sonata again. So I do think he'll definitely be in the running. But I agree with you, ultimately, it seems like the LIJ guys are like, Sonata feels like he's closer than Tanahashi. But I do think Tanahashi has a shot at it, at least. But I just wanted to bring that up. But let's move on to Evil.
Yeah, moving on to Evil. What do you think about his run in the tournament so far?
Oh, I hate him. Like, I think he's been one of the worst people in the tournament, easily. Like, I'm so done with this gimmick. And I love that Yoshihashi match with no thanks to him at all. I think he added absolutely nothing into that match on a work-based schedule. I think he sucks as a wrestler, and I'm completely done with him. Like, I this gimmick is horrible. I don't think it's really even... I think the LIJ stuff works to the fans, but, I mean, that's it. Like, that's the only thing he has, that he was in LIJ. But everything else to be wiped away, and he needs to go completely to the drawing board, whole new moveset, whole new wrestling style. Maybe he needs to just go away for a while. Like, go to USA and train with people. Like, he adds nothing from a wrestling standpoint, and his gimmick is terrible. So I have nothing positive to say about this man.
The problem with New Japan is they just don't do it.
Oh, I know. Like that was, why did I even say that? That's stupid.
I don't know.
You know that. Yeah, see, exactly. But man, you're trying to sell me on Shingo with an A block too. Like, and you know that's not gonna happen in your heart. So let me have my moment too. Try to rehab this bum, like in this terrible gimmick. Like, just give me this. Like, get this out, man. Like,
I just can't let you have this now. They are not going to reboot him because they just don't do that. They have this gimmick. They've thought that out, and that's what he's going to do for the next foreseeable future. I can't really get into any of the matches because I know how they turn out. It's always going to be Dick Togo getting out, whatever he is having.
What a waste of Dick Togo, by the way.
What a waste of Dick Togo. It's absolutely incredible.
That Kenta match was my least favorite match of this tournament. I just want to point that out. I hated that match.
The Kenta match, the moment when Dick Togo was on the outside acting so over the top once again and wanting Kenta to give him his briefcase and Kenta just smashed him with the briefcase was just so awkward and weird. And the entire structure of Bullet Club and they're wrestling against one another and cheating against one another. It's so, I don't know. It doesn't really make any sense. It was not worked well. Nothing was really worked well yet. He's in the middle of nowhere.
No, like this main event run. And to me, it's clear that they have not positioned him as a top guy in this block. Like, he lost right away to Zack Sabre Jr. He struggled against Yoshihashi, too, in the second night. His third match was against Yano, and he lost that as well. So how is this a guy who just was the double champion?
And the story here is that he is losing even though he has Dick Togo ringside.
Man, that was a bad decision. Like, to put the titles on him. Like, I think we're at the moment, like, if this is what you are going to do with him, then they really should have just reined all of that in. Even if they had went with someone else. Like, it would have been fine. But ultimately, that was a really bad decision overall to put him as champion. He wasn't ready. And this gimmick is just... Nobody could have made this work. In some defense of him, even though I don't think he's performing well. Like, if Kenta Kobashi was in this gimmick, it would be an objective failure. Like, there's no doubt in my mind. Like, there's nobody who can make this work. But he's not also not... You have to put some blame on him, too, because it's clear he's not ready to be any kind of main eventer. And I think even they see that. And like, he's lost. Like, he's completely lost. And even before this, he was super mid-tier. Like, for the majority of his career, he was a mid-tier wrestler in New Japan. He had one little moment with Okada where he got to rise up. He had a couple of great matches here and there where he gets Ishii and so on and so forth. And Okada, you know, you got to give him up for that. But for the most part, he really wasn't showing main event level status. And now you put him in this position, and it's like he's gotten lower than where he was. And it's just incredible to me how a guy who can win the double titles have a huge angle based around him. The entire summer was dedicated to this angle. And it's like 1 month later, this is where we are with Evil? Yikes. Like, what? How can anybody defend that? I don't know, man.
Yeah. That's where we stand right now. Former double champion.
There's now, no way he's just, winning this block.
Just a dude.
Yeah, like no 0% chance he wins this block.
Yeah, but you know, because he's facing Zanada on the final day, he is one of the main guys that they focus on in this block. even though he started out like you said.
Yeah, I mean, I
he's beating Naito.
I don't think so. I don't think he's getting another. No, no way. Like he's not getting another title shot after all of this. Like, I mean, you can never count out. Never say never with Gato, no. But to me, it really makes no sense for him to get a title shot between now and Wrestle Kingdom. Nor should he be positioned over Sonata. So,
no, like, Sonata will get the one title shot off between Wrestle Kingdom.
I think there's a chance Sonata wins this tournament. Like, okay. You cannot count that out based on how the game
worked true.
So far. I don't think Evil's beating Sonata on the last night. Evil might be alive. It's kind of like Tanahashi. So there's an outside chance he's alive, but I don't see any way he wins this block based on how things have gone so far. And just in general, he's such a dead in the water worker right now. Like, he really needs a lot of help right now. And where is he going to be in Wrestle Kingdom? Like, you know, like, I wonder what his position is going to be, because is he even on the show?
Probably in the never six-man tag team gauntlet.
Yeah, if they do the gauntlet, okay, you got me on that one. If they do the gauntlet, yeah, but singles title,
other
I think
than
he,
that, I don't know.
Yeah,
maybe never, but
he'll never be in a title match on this Wrestle Kingdom show. Is what you mean by that? I think.
I mean,
I don't think they're behind him either. Like right now, I think they were in the summer, but it feels like they've really cooled off on him even in booking. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'll be proven wrong, just like with you and Yoshihashi. Although that won't make me happy.
We'll see about that.
Yeah.
Someone we can definitely say he is another body in the tournament, there to win some and to lose some. Zack Sabre Jr. doing his stuff, doing his World of Sports and Speed. Just doing what he always does.
Tag team champion.
Yeah.
Got a surprising win over Evil on the first night, you know, so I don't really know what role he'll play in this tournament, really. Like you said, just a guy, like, ultimately brings a different style.
Was it in Currican Hall where he faced Naito? No, it was in Hokkaido, right. I was thinking throughout the match that Zack would be a good challenger for the title between now and Wrestle Kingdom, but then Naito beat him. So, maybe he's just there to build up challenges for the tag title.
Yeah, he's like super mid-carder. Like, he's not even the top guy on his team. Like, to me, they push Taichi more than him.
Yeah, so. Totally, they do. Yeah, nothing much to say about him. Kenta.
Not really a fan of his work outside of the Goto match. I really wasn't into that Juice match. Zach was a good match. I liked him and Zach. I will say that. I think they have really great chemistry together, like him and Zack Sabre Jr. So that was a great match for them to put together. I think they should be perpetually in the same block in these G1 matches. The Evil match, I thought, again, that was like my least favorite match of the tournament. But overall, I'm not really impressed with him as a worker anymore. I love his character work. Like, I think he gets it on a level nobody else in the company does with the Japanese fans when it comes to being a true heel. But other than that, I thought he would be booked a bit stronger going for, you know, at the start of the tournament and then kind of come back down. But they've just kind of established him as just a guy, like, ultimately. But, you know, it's fine. Yeah, I thought the first match with Goto was good. The first match with Zach was good. But if you put him in there with the wrong guy, I don't think you're going to get great results.
I think he will have a great tournament match-wise, because he's still facing Tanahashi, Sanada, Yoshihashi, and Tetsuya Naito, all guys that the crowd loves very much. And Kenta, with his new character, with his very heelish and dickish character, he can definitely be the antagonist in those matches and play a great role until the end of the tournament. And I think at the end of the tournament, we'll talk about him as one of the better ones in Block B.
Yeah, we'll see. I think the character-wise, he's one of, like, to me, he might be the best character worker.
He is.
In the company. Like, I agree with that. I think he is, too. So I think he'll always have a good position to play in this company that values character work so much. And we'll see where it goes going forward. I thought it was interesting how he, in the Evil match, he was trying to be, like, the friend to Evil. And Evil was like, screw that. Like, you know, like, I'm going to do all my, I'm not going to too sweet you. I'm going to do all my normal stuff. So I thought that was kind of a deal there. We'll see what comes out of it. But if you're into the Bullet Club stuff, I think you'll value these matches a little bit more. But I think the character work will always be there, even if the wrestling won't always be there with him.
Yeah. Toru Yano.
The fast starter of the tournament.
3 victories in his first 3 matches. Let's get to the chase. Toru Yano is just a guy.
It means that, nothing. Like, none of those wins mean anything.
Nothing. Yeah, it just doesn't mean anything. That's it.
Yeah. Like, even those wins, like, those were against 3 top guys. Sonata, Evil, and Tanahashi. And,
but
like,
he always does that he upsets at least one major guy, and then he loses to all these other guys.
That's exactly where we're heading already. Yep. It's like they got him out of the way first, so I think that's at least a little different wrinkle in this game. But at the end of the day, it's like, what's even the point of analyzing? It's like his matches take place in an entirely different world than the other matches.
Except for they are taking place in the same world as the G1 Climax.
Well, that's always been my issue with him.
Yeah. So, 2 guys left in this block here. First of the 2 is Juice Robinson with his new outfit, with his new look.
Awful.
He's of course playing this Blues Brothers gimmick, right?
Maybe. I mean, that's what it seems like to me. That's what I thought. I think that's the immediate conclusion you would draw looking at him.
What he definitely is not playing is a Queen gimmick that I saw that a lot on the first day of the second day of the tournament. People were comparing him to Queen, and I was saying he doesn't look anywhere near like Queen did.
No, no one is confusing Juice with Freddie Mercury.
Yeah, but that was the comparison.
It's just because of the song and the stomps and stuff.
Maybe. Yeah, Juice. Before the tournament, we said that we thought that he had reached his ceiling, and I don't think that he has convinced us otherwise. He is a solid guy in the tournament, can have a good match with the likes of Tanahashi, and can play a good gimmick. It's good that he kind of reinvented himself, at least when it comes to his outfit, his style. Other than that, he's doing what he always does. His wrestling is pretty much the same. So, playing a solid role, he's a likable character. A lot of people really like him, are behind Juice. And he's just going to play his role and be there for an eventual upset, maybe.
I liked his first match with Yoshihashi. I thought that was a great leadoff to B-Block. The Tana match was pretty good. Even the Yano match, I think, was in his wheelhouse. You know, for a Yano match standards, I think he did a pretty great job with it. But like you said, ultimately, he is who he is. I think this look is really bad, ultimately, but all of his looks are pretty bad. Mm-hmm. You know, is this really significantly worse than My Little Pony Undertaker?
No. I'm not saying it's worse. I'm just pointing out what it's not and what changed, you know?
I think the main thing about that is it was good that he came up with this idea to get the crowd involved, because if you notice,
that's a really great idea, yes.
Yeah, like, because B-Block, to me, has had the much bigger reactions than A-Block, if you look at show-by-show basis. And I think he definitely, like, Yoshihashi, obviously, Tanahashi, Naito, Sonata, and he has to be considered up in that class as well with this stomping deal that he's got going on. So I thought it was just so smart of him to bring that in immediately. Like, he was the first guy out in the first match, immediately with the Queen stomping. Everybody knows that song. Everybody's going to want to clap along with it. You know, it totally works. So it was really smart of him. Kind of underrated psychologically that he has in his chamber, so to speak. But like you said, as a wrestler, they've actually protected him a bit more than I thought they would going forward earlier on. So we'll see how he closes out this tournament and if they continue on or if he just fades back in, like, you know, I think most people expect. But overall, a fine guy. Like, you know, like, good guy for the crowd. Like you said, very likable. Everybody likes Juice pretty much. Good mid-card worker level guy. So good stuff. Maybe he will get that upset. But they've been nice to him so far. Let's see what he does on the second half.
One guy left here in Block B, the champion Tetsuya Naito, who has had by far the most match time and who has had the most main events too. And I'm really glad that now He's only have one main event left because the guy really needs to ease out. He is having these great high-octane matches all throughout the tournament now, and it doesn't seem that there is any stopping to that. I don't know about you, but I always think that it's too much with him. That they focus too much on this guy being the main eventer and don't give anyone else a main event position. I don't think that's the right way to go. I said that in block A2. They should do some alternating main events with some other guys and have Tetsuya Naito rest a bit more, because he's clearly going to have a big rest of the year with Wrestle Kingdom coming up. But he is always expected to main event. And I don't know if that's a good decision necessarily.
I mean, the proof's in the pudding. He's main evented every show as far as through the first four nights. And in A block, they've switched things around a bit more even. You know, Jay's been in the main event a couple of times, but besides that, I know Okada's been in the main event a couple of times. Ibushi's been in the main event a couple of times. Then they switched out with Shingo and Ishii as well. And in B block, it's all Naito all the time in main event, pretty much. I don't know if I agree about high octane matches necessarily, though. The first match with Tanahashi, yes. The other ones were more long.
That's true.
Like, to me, the Goto match wasn't really a high octane. Zack Sabre wasn't really like that. Sonata, not really like that. They're just long more than anything, and I don't think particularly stand out. You know, I think, like, the Tanahashi match was a great match. The best of the tournament. Maybe the best of all these tournaments that we've talked about on this show.
Agreed.
Yeah, you know, so, but the other matches, I think he's doing fine, but not anything special at all. And I was really confused by some of these decisions. Like, the 28 minutes for Zack and Naito, was it really necessary? You know, like was it really necessary for these guys to 28 minutes? But ultimately, he's the champion. He is the most popular guy. Everybody knew he wasn't going to be losing a lot. And pretty much all of them will be for storyline purposes going forward. But he's going to need to take some falls, you know. Ultimately, like he needs to take at least two for Tanahashi to win, or in fact two for Sonata to win too. So he has to lose at least two more times.
He could lose to Yano and nobody would care.
And I think he's definitely losing to Kenta the last night.
That kind
of that was one of the matches I circled for sure. And the other one, like you said, Yano, maybe Evil, if you want to go there as well. You know, we'll see what happens with the rest of the B block with the rest of his matches. But ultimately, he's got to take some falls going forward, and we'll see how it turns out. But I don't think he's been the most spectacular performer. He plays his role well to the fans. No matter what he does, he's going to be super over. And he had that one big match that will remind you that, like, look, when I want to be, I'm a top guy.
Yes.
You know, and he proved that. But I like Tanahashi, to me, has had a great tournament. And Naito, I wouldn't say, has had a great tournament in-ring-wise.
Unlike the Noah matches, these matches are really very long.
They feel long, in addition to actually being long as well.
Yeah.
There's just no build-up to them. It's just like they're just long for the sake of it, you know?
Yeah. But let us go now to our final talking point. Top five matches of the tournament, Dylan, I wanted to go first.
Okay, so top five matches to me... all the Ishii matches.
Yes, I have him three times.
Yes, exactly. Ishii, Shingo, Ishii Suzuki, and Ishii Ibushi are all in my top five.
I agree.
Yeah. Evil Yoshihashi would be my number two, and then Tanahashi Naito.
Okay, that's very short. I have the exact same matches.
See, I think...
In that exact same order, by the way.
Yes, exactly. See, very similar thoughts on this show, like right now. But not always, but on the match quality, definitely similar, I think. And I mean, how could you argue, like, a lot of these matches, I feel like... The only one I think some people are going to be against the Yoshihashi match, like still a little struggling with that. But the Ishii matches, like, who's going to say those matches weren't good? Like, calm down.
People might be surprised about us not mentioning Shingo Takagi versus Will Ospreay. But I think, in my opinion, that match was miles away from the best of a Super Junior final. It was in a different universe, in my opinion. So I didn't even think about putting that in the top five. So it has a very high rating on Cage Match, but I was not as much of a fan of that match as others were.
Totally agree. Like we kind of mentioned when we were talking about A-Block that those guys haven't exactly set our world on fire yet. But that match was a good reason why, because I agree with you. Just no comparison to the Best of Super Junior match.
Yeah, all right. Then your final conclusion on the first half of the tournament so far.
Yeah, so like we kind of mentioned the All Japan and the NOAH tournaments, and the All Japan show, the tournament was a little lackluster. They kind of pulled it out at the end, and maybe they could bring it home with a good final. The NOAH tournament, I think we pretty much really liked. I think anybody following that tournament has to say that it was a great tournament in-ring-wise, and they built to a logical main event. As crazy as the turns were, and maybe as unnecessary as the Nakajima turn was, at the end of the day, the matches are all in quality. New Japan, to me, is the tournament that has the most talking points, but it's also a complete roller coaster ride of quality. There's some stuff that is absolutely horrible, and then there's some stuff that's great. And there's really, you know, it's kind of just hard to follow along this tournament because there's so many ups and downs, and we're on this ride, and who knows where it's ending, because I don't think there's a clear-cut winner either. Unlike the NOAH tournament and the All Japan tournament where you said, hey, look, probably it's going to be Kento and Nakajima. In this tournament, there's any number of scenarios that I could see playing out going into the finals. You know, even some that I doubt, like the Evil one, you know, who's to say? Like you said, he's facing Sanada on the last night, so who knows if they decide to turn it all around on him. You know, who's to say Osprey can't suddenly make the finals? You know, Okada with his storyline, Jay White's been pushed. Why Ibushi and Tanahashi have had their storyline. Naito's the champion. So it's like there's all these different things at play. It's really a difficult tournament to follow in terms of, you know, consistency. But at least it's interesting. It gives us a lot to talk about in the points. And I think more so than the other tournaments, even though I think the NOAH tournament was higher quality, I think this one is more interesting just for a podcaster to talk about or an analyst.
Absolutely.
You know, because there's so many different things they could do and just so much craziness going on. And also another point I want to make, too, before we get on out of here. I think the one good thing about this tournament is specifically in B Block, because, again, a lot of the talk was how much better A Block was than B. It's clear that that's not true. First of all, even with Evil and Yano in there, like, there's no way. Like,
didn't
I feel like
even say that in our preview.
We were one of the only shows, in fact, Striga, that we both agreed on this. I think we may have been the only one where we both agreed that B Block is better than A Block.
Yeah.
So I that isn't completely correct. You are never one to sell us short, and I always appreciate that, much like myself. But I think never mind match quality. The thing that I think makes B Block even better than A Block, which it already is anyway, just in terms of wrestling. But to me, the thing that really makes B Block better is a lot of these guys have stories going in there. In A Block, like Suzuki, Ishii, Shingo, these guys are just guys in the tournament. Like, maybe they're great workers.
Yujiro. Don't forget Yujiro.
Yeah, Yujiro Cobb. Like, that's half the tournament right there. Even Ibushi, like, he has his little thing with Tanahashi. Jay has his Bullet Club thing, but not really in the block. You know, it's just like he's a cheating guy. That's not really a tournament-line story. But it's like in B Block, it's like you have Tanahashi. Is he broken down? Naito's the champion. All the LIJ guys are there. Evil Sanada. Is it Sanada's time? Yoshihashi's an underdog. You have Kenta also involved with Bullet Club stuff as well. So it's like each different person has different storylines in B Block. That maybe A Block, it's like Okada has his. And otherwise, there's not really a lot of meat on those bones. It's just in terms of purely A-Block-centric stories, I feel like.
Yeah. I mean, I can't add much to that because the tournament is going much like I expected. There is a lot of curveballs that are thrown at us, but that's always happening early in the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And the real meat of the tournament is coming this coming week with four shows, and after that we can more clearly see who they are positioning to be in the running on the final day. But up until now, it's the usual mixed bag we have in the G1 Climax. It usually always starts out very, very strong. This time, the first A-Block show had Minoru Suzuki and Tomohiro Ishii, and the other two matches in the main event weren't really that good. usually starts out very strong, and then there's kind of a slump from show 3 to 6. But this time, as you mentioned, there's some good, some bad, some great. It's very mixed now.
Yeah, it feels like this could take a turn to be a great, great tournament, or just maybe come off the rails entirely. Like it feels like it could go either of those routes, and we don't really know. Like we're just along for the ride right now. It feels like with this tournament, so at least it's interesting. I will give it that. Even with some of the stuff I don't like the evil and all of that, at least they're doing interesting things that maybe are a little different than years past, which I think is all you can ask. And I'm very happy with the additions of someone like a Yoshihashi. I think he's really added a lot to this tournament that would be missing if he weren't there. So I'm happy for that. Yujiro and the rest, you know.
Yeah.
He won't be around next year. if this is some sort of audition to see who's going to be in next year, when things go, things are back to normal, hopefully. I don't know if he's passed the test, so to speak, so far. But in general, like I said, this whole tournament is just a real roller coaster ride. So we'll see what happens. Like you said, maybe at the end of the week, we'll be back and we'll be like, look, now we see clearly what's going on.
Yes. So we'll see where the roller coaster ride will take us finally. Once again, the shout out to you doing the reviews on the Patreon, patreon.com/EasternLariat. And also, Dylan, shout out to your Twitch, Shadows Over Heaven.
Yes, that's right. In fact, on my career mode in Fire Pro, Fighting Road, I have entered the G1, and that's going to be this week's episode as well. What will happen? Will I be able to overcome? I made it to the finals of New Japan Cup this year in my rookie year, just after graduating from being a young lion as an official member of the home army. And I too, much like Yoshihashi, won my first 6-man title as well recently in the last episode. So in the new one, I'm going to challenge the G1 climax, see what can happen. Who am I going to face? I got a match with Tanahashi later on, my mentor. ELW is coming up as well. It's going to be back this Saturday. I've taken a couple of days off, so keep your eyes open for that. But also, just real quick, I want to shout out two things real quick as well. In addition to the Twitch and the Patreon, everyone, please follow and subscribe and all of that. But I would like to say congratulations to Utami Hayashishida, who won Stardust 5-Star Grand Prix as well. Natsumi Maki and Mina Shirakawa signed with Stardom recently, so there's a lot of big news going on in Stardom. All kinds of crazy stuff going on there, pretty much. Tom Nakano had a bunch of great matches as well, so that's an interesting storyline to follow in. Stardom spending the cash with us, New Japan's sister company.
I'm not a big fan of them signing everybody.
Well, I mean, it was going to happen. Like I said, I totally get where you're coming from, but there was no question that was going to happen with Bushiroad coming in.
Absolutely.
You know, so it is what it is on that end, but, you know, these girls get a chance to make more money.
Yeah, ultimately. Absolutely.
See, that's the wrestler perspective on things, is always trying to get your cash as much as possible, and Bushiroad is floating it out right now. But definitely hard shots to Tokyo Joshi Pro as well, who had a really nice tournament in August as well with the Princess Cup. But they're back in Stardom. Tokyo Cyber Squad broke up as well, but they've got big things going on in Stardom right now. I think it should be a good end to the year. And also, to round things out with the G1, since we talked about it, C-Block going on with all the Young Lion matches. Waimura, Gabriel Kidd, and Tsuji. I have enjoyed all of the combinations of these guys pretty much. And actually, on the 8th night, I thought was perhaps the best one of all. Like, the best Young Lions match thus far, going into the Kidd versus Waimura, going for the time limit draw. I think all three of these guys show a lot of potential and are all different as well. So I really enjoy watching them. Well worth checking out if you have time.
Good that you brought that up here, because I just a couple of minutes ago I remembered that I wanted to bring the Young Lion Cup matches. It's not official. It's C Block. I wanted to bring the Young Lion matches up too, but I just forgot it in the beginning. Yes, I agree that they add a lot, and it's great to see how they develop throughout this tournament here on the undercards. The thing that I really like about these matches is that they embody the true spirit of New Japan Pro Wrestling like nothing else does on these shows in these days. with a promotion that calls themselves the King of Sports, it's only the Young Lions that really embody that. Where you have the pure wrestling that New Japan, well, cites themselves to have, being the King of Sports. And I really loved how Gabriel Kidd added the double arm suplex to his arsenal and began winning matches with that. As you mentioned, the time limit draw between Gabriel Kidd and Yota Tsuji was probably the best one. I like watching these matches, but I would have loved to see a little bit more variety of them. Not only have singles matches, but have tag matches for a change. And I don't see any reason why they couldn't have brought in someone from the LA Dojo if they brought in Cobb and Juice and Zack Sabre. So that would have been a nice change of pace there. Except for that, big fan of the Young Lions.
Yeah, you think they can just throw in a junior every now and then if they want to do a tag match or something like that. But this is not the rules of C block in G1, okay. It will must be singles matches between all three, and it will never end as long as the tournament goes on. So we'll see what happens going forward. But I think they're worth watching, like way more so than the six-man tags and all that bullcrap that they usually do every year. So I think that they've done a great thing to make that change, and I hope that they don't just stop now. Like, even next year, I hope they continue this to have a Young Lions, not really a cup, but still just a series of exhibition matches to set up the show. It puts you in the right state of mind. And like you said, of all the things in the tournament, it's the most pure form of wrestling that New Japan has to offer. So I always enjoy starting things off with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. This brings us to the end of our show. A very long one, but a very comprehensive look at all the tournaments going on in Japan right now. So we'll be probably back in, I think, 1 or 2 weeks, depending on what my schedule allows. But it's definitely going to be a bit lighter than in recent weeks. So look out for another episode of us very soon. Except for that, that has been the Eastern Lariat for now. Thank you all for listening. And goodbye.
Sayonara.
Streaming worldwide. This is the MLWRadio.com network.